much about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
And I believe that what's about to follow is really going to amaze. So I suggest you sit back and enjoy your front row seat.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
I want to go on record as saying that this is a very bad idea.
Because it's too confusing. For Kevin, you know.
So you're all ready for the party?
Fair warning. I party pretty hard. You should see me dance. I can't be controlled.
Oh.
I do a lot of pelvic thrusts.
Oh.
Just very localized dancing. Very small orbits. I've been wrecking parties since I was 13. I was like the Hunter S. Thompson of bar mitzvahs.
And now...
You know what? I'm not going to be listening to your station anymore. Promoting your homosexuals and your gay tendencies.
Our feature presentation.
Wow.
That's what we do.
We have an agenda. Sure we do.
Morning, everybody. It is a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It's 5:34, and it's Thursday the 12th of September.
What's going on, party people? What's the haps? What's the latest? What's new?
You know, just hanging and banging.
Like you do.
Like we do.
Hey, I have a story I want to share with you here. But first, because I forgot to mention this yesterday, there's all these new holiday-flavored candies coming out. It's crazy. Every day it seems like there's a new. Like the pumpkin spice M&Ms. There's a new candy corn and nuts. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff coming out for the holidays.
Candy corn and nuts?
Can we have Beer Mug start trying some of that stuff for me so I don't have to and he can tell
yes.
me which ones are good?
Oh, I would like, yes, very much so. And we should like, do it all in one day.
Like, get a, you know, whatever size the bags are, just have him eat the whole bag just so, you know, he can really get a sense for whether it's any good or not. Because you can't tell with just a handful.
Right.
Fantastic.
You gotta eat the whole bag.
Here's the problem, though. You can't trust Beer Mug's taste because he just shovels whatever in and swallows without even tasting it.
I'll tell you what it tastes like, though.
He doesn't care what it tastes like. He knows what it tastes like. He still shovels it in.
He'll shovel
it. But he will
it
tell you if it's
way.
Good or bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
So even if it's terrible, he'll eat it, but at least he can share with us which ones are worth trying.
Exactly.
All right.
Okay.
I like
a good
that.
Idea.
All right.
We gotta load the boy up then.
All right.
I like it.
Let's load the boy up.
All right. Speaking of loading the boy up, here's the headline on this story from Wales. This happened August 18th. The headline in the paper is, "Naked, drunk, and having sex with a Land Rover is no way to go through life, son."
Oh, sweet.
He is 24-year-old Daniel Cooper, lives in Holywell, North Wales. Describes himself as a responsible family man, by the way.
Sure.
However, he had a bit of a bender, a bit of a night. He was seen going down High Street in his tiny Welsh town with his trousers around his ankles and his T-shirt pulled up over his head. So check. He took care of
all right.
He was urinating while he was doing all this in the street, by the way. He was waving at cars. Then he took off his shirt completely. Then he was seen to enter a kebab shop where he was simulating a sex act against the corner of the counter.
Okay.
Then, at one stage, this is according to the prosecutor, at one stage, he lay on the ground and simulated a sex act. Then he did the same to a nearby Land Rover Discovery vehicle, which was parked on the street. So he's having sex now with a Land Rover. Now, I in my mind, I assume tailpipe, but I mean, we don't know if he got that specific, if he was just, you know, rubbing up against the side of the doors. We don't know exactly how he was trying to enter the Land Rover.
We don't know that the Land Rover was even willing to give up the tailpipe.
That's true. It was a first date. That's a good point. He told officers he was not used to drinking and had gone out with only 13 pounds in his pocket on the night of August 18th. So how do you get that drunk on just 13 pounds? I guess that's what he was saying, is he had super low tolerance, right?
Yeah, if you don't ever drink, it's probably hits a lot harder. And who knows if somebody bought him one or two or ten.
Right, exactly. Or ten, right. He also, besides the drunkenness, he also admitted indecent exposure.
Yes.
He was not a pretty sight naked, one of his friends said later. We all felt sorry for the Land Rover and hope it wasn't offended.
By the way, I would guess 75% of Americans look bad. Look bad naked.
Yeah. Just sure.
For most of us, we just need to keep some clothes on.
Absolutely, yeah. And I thought this was interesting. There's no word. They didn't send him to jail, according to this article. At least it's not mentioned. He doesn't seem to have been fined. But the judge handed this down. He was banned from going outdoors between 7 p.m. and 7 a.m. on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday nights for the next 3 months.
That's pretty specific.
Yeah, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday nights for the next 3 months. He can't go out at night. But, I mean, he could totally go out and get completely wasted on a Wednesday if he wanted.
Right.
But they're just there keeping judge him away probably, from his weekends.
Judge probably figured he wouldn't.
Right.
Because he's responsible or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a responsible family man, right. He's got a job.
Do we know if the Land Rover is pressing charges?
It doesn't say. That's not mentioned here. But that's quite an I don't know if – have we done the phone topic in a while of the crazy things you did when you were drunk, what your friends told you about?
We've done it, but it's probably been a while, yeah.
Because this guy – that's an evening right there. That's,
yes.
That guy knows how to party.
We should do that. We should also do sex with inanimate objects again, which we haven't done in a while.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
A lot of couches get
a lot of couches. A lot of shoes taking it. You know, it's not a pretty sight. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Mijo, shall we?
Don't you think it's time you people stop looking to the white man to solve all your problems?
On today's program, we're going to give you a chance to kind of tell on yourself. We always talk about 911, and people call 911 for any reason. And a lot of times, seems to us like, I don't know, maybe there's just a lot of reports or something, but it seems to us like every single day, what, half of their calls must be bogus.
Yeah. There's a lot of abuse.
I guess people just don't get what it's for.
How is that?
I don't know.
Like at this point, how do people not know what 911 is? Do you call 911 from a movie theater because someone's on the phone? No.
No.
I also think that the police departments have not done a good enough job of promoting that there is a non-emergency police number.
Well,
I think most people think the only way to get in touch with the police is to call 911. They don't realize that there's also an office. There's a desk that you can call for something that's not an emergency. I just don't think people realize
that. Well, I think part of the problem is 911 is easy to remember.
Right.
And then you go, well, I don't know what that other one is, so I guess I just called 911.
And yeah, call 411 and ask for the non-emergency number.
Who's got
for the
time
police?
For that? The guy's on the phone in a movie.
Right. That is an emergency.
Right. You don't have time.
Lisa May's got her dog in a movie. I have to call 911.
Right. Brand new internet roundup today. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk to Dr. Drew. We have Danny Elfman.
He's an interesting guy.
How long has it been since we talked to Danny Elfman?
I can't remember. It has to be 15 years.
10,
probably,
15
right?
years?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a crazy, crazy good movie score.
Yeah.
Genius.
Genius, yeah. Composer and all kinds of stuff. And he's got a very cool event on Halloween. Surprise, surprise. That we're going to tell you about. That's coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. We have Rob Schneider talking about doing some stand-up in Southern California. And we have your Depeche Mode tickets as well.
All right.
Keep listening for that. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
How did our old friend Jimmy Kimmel prank the internet with that Girl on Fire twerking video? We will talk to him and hear how the whole thing came together, coming up right after the top of the hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Ralph Garman joins us, and it's time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. Hey, Ralph.
I heard it's real. I heard on the radio that it's a real video.
No, that guy was dumb. That guy's an idiot that said that.
I don't know. He sounded pretty confident.
Mm.
Yeah. 100% absolutely real. And no way it could be a stunt woman, too. That's what I've heard.
It's a stunt woman.
That was a stupid idea.
Yeah.
She's like 12.
She did look awfully young for a stunt woman.
Yeah,
thank
nobody
you.
Does that.
She's like 12, Lisa. Don't be stupid. Poor Lisa. I weep for Lisa.
Thank
sometimes.
You. It's rough around here.
No wonder you have a fake security dog or whatever it is that you carry around.
I need
with
emotional
you.
Assistance
support.
At all times.
Yes. Hey, I want to give you people something because you're nice. They are tickets, passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of a little movie that Ron Howard likes to call Rush.
Yay! Fantastic.
It is fantastic. The story, of course, of James Hunt, British playboy race car driver, which must have been a pretty cool gig back in the 70s to be a Formula One race car driver and a British playboy. That seems
that
like
works.
A pretty good time to do that if you're going to do it is in the 70s.
That's sure a world we know nothing about. But it does seem like in the 70s, if you were doing that and you were there.
Yeah,
oh,
pretty hip.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
It's Hunt versus his arch rival, Niki Lauda, in the story. A merciless rivalry between the two, creating destruction and pain and crashes and drama and chicks and booze and all good things. Want to see this? Of course you do. We're having a special screening of Rush at September the 18th at the Arclight Hollywood. Movie won't be in theaters until Friday, September the 27th, but I'm going to give you a chance to go early. Call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through, get a pair of passes to go see Rush. Yesterday, I was telling you about Tom Hanks being the ideal juror and why he's so perfect. And I said, how do we know he's working on a domestic violence case? That's like some kind of jury tampering over there, if you ask me. Boom! Who called it? This guy!
There was jury tampering?
Really?
The case was halted due to jury tampering.
Really?
It alleges allegations of jury tampering, at least. And here's what happened, and it's kind of bogus. Apparently,
I hope it's Tom Hanks' fault, because that'll be one chink in the armor.
Well, it is.
Good.
He was in a stairwell, apparently, and a female member of the L.A. City's attorney office went up to Tom and thanked him for his jury service, especially because he's such a big celebrity, and he was glad to serve. Well, the prosecutor disclosed, when court reconvened, that a member of the city's attorney's office made inappropriate contact with Tom.
That was it?
That was it. And that was enough for defense to ask for a hearing to prove prosecutorial misconduct. And so the two sides had to get together. They had to take a sidebar with the judge. And it ended up ending in a plea deal that was cut for the guy who was on trial.
See, this is why we say this Hanks guy is trouble.
He's trouble, man. Wherever he goes, he causes guilty people to go free. The defendant had been facing a charge of domestic violence, facing up to a year in jail. Instead, he got a $150 fine and was found guilty of disturbing the peace.
So Tom Hanks basically is just, he wants to empty all the prisons in
That's
California.
What he wants to
just
do.
Let all the rapists and the murderers, just yes. everybody just out.
He wants just crime to run rampant in our fair city. He just wants all the bad guys to be out in the streets.
Wow.
So now we know.
By the way, how dumb is the woman from the prosecutor's
Ridiculous.
Office to go up and talk to a juror?
Just, she got stars in her eyes and just was just an idiot. She should be fired. Just on general principles.
Sure.
Stupid.
That is stupid. Absurd. She has to know that
better than
you know anyone else in the world. A prosecutor has to know how to handle a jury.
Exactly.
It's crazy. That must have been a moment of party.
It was not a moment of party, Kevin.
What?
It was not a moment of party bus. Dina Eastwood has officially filed for separation from her husband, Clint. It's all over between those two. The former news anchor is seeking physical custody of their 16-year-old daughter, Morgan. And, of course, she wants spousal support from the 83-year-old actor-director. They're still dating those people, by the way.
Who?
They're both dating someone new.
Oh, okay.
And those people were also married to one another at one point. Maybe you were out, Kevin, when we were talking about this story last time.
Wow, did I miss that?
Yeah, she is dating a guy, and Clint is dating that guy's ex-wife. And now the exes will have swapped,
in
essence.
That's so weird.
They had some kind of party one night.
Yeah, no kidding.
And that's how all this happened.
I like you better than Big Mouth. That's what Clint said.
I'm buzzed.
We should open up the phone someday about people who swapped partners.
Swap partners.
Yeah. Not in like the fun swinging sense, but in like you ended up dating somebody and their ex ended up dating your ex. I think that would be
a
fascinating dynamic.
It's a weird thing, yeah.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Joe Pantoliano. Joey Pants.
Where's he been lately? Man, I haven't seen that guy on my TV in a long time.
You're right. It has been a while. I'm trying to think the last thing I saw him in. Couldn't have been Sopranos, could it?
I don't know.
I don't know.
He is 62 years old today. Singer Ben Folds of the Ben Folds Five.
I don't think that's right.
That's
Kevin.
Not Ben Folds?
Hold on to that.
All right. Louis C.K. is 46. Jason Statham is also 46 years old today. Actor Paul Walker turns 40. 2 Chainz is...
No?
...is 36 years old today. Ben McKenzie turns 35. Singer-actress Jennifer Hudson is 32.
Jay Hutz! Can I sing a song for you, Jay Hutz? Jay Hutz! Jay Hutz! Jay Hutz!
What's happening with him?
He's not annoying at all.
Sorry, I was thrown by an appropriate sound, but... Emmy Rossum is 27 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:23.
Next guest is a man who was a big-time rock and roll star right here on K-Rock in the 80s and 90s, and then he grew up, and we didn't, and now we don't get to see him anymore because he's hanging out with fancy orchestra types instead of us here in the gutter. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Danny Elfman has joined us in studio.
Hi. Hello, Kevin and Bean Shaw.
It's good to be back. Hello.
It has been a long time. How are you, my friend?
Just busy, 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 busy. I never get a break.
How many movies a year do you do? Because I suspect that you score more movies than I even have time to go see in the theater.
Well, it's supposed to be three or four, but the last 3 years, it seems like that hasn't happened. I know I was on six last year. And
three or four is a number that you put on yourself to try and not overdo it?
That's what I did for a long time. It just seems like things got a little out of hand the last 3 years plus, because it seems like I've got six projects a year, although sometimes one of them is not a film. Like, as you know, a couple of years ago I did Iris Iris for Cirque du Soleil, but that was a film.
How many films have you scored?
I don't know. I have no idea.
You really don't have any idea?
No.
It has to be at least 50, right?
No, it's over 80. I don't know how many.
That's crazy.
Now, is the reason that you're picking up so much work is because, you know, every time something comes down the pike, you evaluate all the reasons why you would do or not do it, and they're just like, I love that director, or I really love something else about this project, or, I mean, it's just too good to turn down? Is that what's happening?
Well, it's not so much that. It really is more, I like to balance the big ones and the small ones. For me, a good year is I've got one or two, you know, big films that I like doing, and but I also got at least a couple of really small ones, because that's how I keep myself balanced.
What's the experience
like? Both.
How is it different for you, the big one and the small one?
Well, the big ones, you know, the size of the orchestra, the needs of everything, there's no question about it. But you don't get to stretch out as far as you do. On the small ones, you get to be a little more experimental, and there's less people watching.
There's less pressure.
Yeah, you know, it's you just get to kind of be a little more out there and inventive. And so I kind of need that balance in my life. And then also I try to work in non-film projects every year if I can, but that's been ending up being more every other year.
Take us back to how you do a movie. They give you the movie without music, and then you just watch it and come up with what you think it should sound like? Or how does that work in general?
Well, more or less.
For the most part.
They do give you the movie without music.
Okay.
And then you start watching it and coming up with ideas. But they don't always know what they want. Some people do. And you start experimenting. I call it taking it in the laboratory.
Okay.
I start, like, coming up with ideas, and I start seeing what can I do with those ideas, like putting them in test tubes and throwing acid on them and seeing what can I do with this theme. Can I make it quirky? Can I make it happy? Can I make it sad? Will it do what I need to do?
Do you come up with stuff that you love, 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 and no one else loves it at all, and they want you to do something different?
Oh, yeah. That's definitely part of being a composer.
Really?
You come up with something you're excited about, and the director looks at you with a dead face.
Oh, that's so disappointing.
I don't get it. But, you know, any composer who can't deal with that can't be a composer. That's
right.
Like part of the job. You move on. You got to move quickly. You got to be on your feet. You got to be on your toes, and you got to just bounce really fast.
How do you stop from parodying your earlier work when you're on movie number 85?
You know, I don't know that I'm not. Honestly, until this concert came up, actually, originally the box set, 2 years ago I did a Burton Elfman box set where we did a 25th anniversary, and I listened to all my earlier scores. Until that time, I've never listened to one of my scores that I've done, ever.
Really? So you could be doing the same one over and over again if you had Alzheimer's.
No, you know what? I do, I'm sure. I always assume that if I'm actually dead on copying myself or somebody else, that, you know, somebody's going to say something during the process.
Somebody else will.
Danny. But I'm actually really good with remembering the melodies. Like when I listened to everything over a 25-year period, I remembered every melody. I remembered every theme. I just didn't remember the scores, how I'd written it, how I'd orchestrated it and arranged it. So it was a big surprise, but I never look back, and I just don't think about that. Usually if I'm doing something and I go, I think I've done this before, I know.
You can kind of tell yourself and you'll just move on.
Yeah. I mean, I have a terrible, terrible memory. I mean, really bad. I mean, it's like brain damage bad when it comes to names. When it comes to words, when it comes to lyrics, I mean, I used to just be horrible back in the Boingo days.
Really?
I black out all the time. No, no, I'm serious. Black out on lyrics. I don't mean like black out, pass out.
Right.
But I walk into a void, like I'm singing or I'm thinking lyrics, and suddenly there's nothing there. Like chorus number two, what happened? It's nothing. It's like stepping out onto a void.
That's my daily life, but go ahead.
But that's what, you know, and then 3 out of 4 times, like one fraction of a millisecond, like the breath before that chorus, it would come back to me. That'd be fine. If the first word did, then the rest would. Sometimes it wouldn't. But when it comes to melodies, I really can remember stuff.
Isn't that interesting? I wonder how that works. I mean, the brain. I mean, I can't figure anything out.
Just wired that way.
Brain, but yeah, it's just your thing.
It's just my wiring, yeah, or it's my form of brain damage. That's the way I like to refer to it.
This is the voice of Danny Elfman here on the Kevin DeBean Show, who is talking. He made a reference to a concert. We're going to have to take a quick break and come back and talk some more about this, but there is an evening with Danny Elfman that's coming up where you're going to be performing the music from the films of Tim Burton, and it is a multimedia experience that's going to include a lot of different things at the Nokia Theater in L.A. Live. Tickets are going on sale on Friday, but we're going to have tickets to give away, and Danny's going to explain what this concert is all about when we return right here on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous. He's the man who won an Emmy for the theme music for Desperate Housewives on TV, won a Grammy for the Batman theme from that movie. But you're a big fat loser when it comes to Oscars, Danny Elfman. What's going on? How many times have you been nominated?
I don't know.
Well, I do. It's 4.
All right.
is that something you ever think about, or is it just that'll be certainly a happy
not
surprise if it happens?
I think I'm probably the only one in Hollywood who sighs a big sigh of relief when they don't get
why
an
is
Oscar.
That? Just because you don't want to talk about it?
I don't want to go up there.
Yeah. You don't want to go up there?
I don't really don't want to go up there.
Wait, so you're saying the winning and the giving the speech is terrifying to you?
Oh, yeah. More terrifying than performing in front of a gazillion people is ever talking in front of a microphone.
Well, it's a completely different skill, and that's why you see a lot of actors and actresses that fail miserably when they do it.
No, I had a Lifetime Achievement Award from recently, and I was backstage, and it was like a big event, and I was talking to Clint Eastwood, and which was great.
Sure.
Real. You know, I got and he was like, oh, yeah, I really like your work, and, you know, I'm trying to be a composer like you. He was really, really sweet, and I was just so enamored. And I walked out on stage, I start to talk, and my voice goes. It's like completely, and I'm going, I just want to say to the Hollywood, excuse me. I realize, and I thought, oh my God, I've become Clint Eastwood.
Or he's gonna think you're mocking him.
He's going to think I'm mocking him. Whereas in fact, I was just absolutely terrified of speaking to the audience.
Wow.
And then I got this Saturn Award recently, and I got up there, and my voice was like, oh, God damn it. This is ridiculous.
If you ever get stuck, just thank Bean and I. That could be like your crutch. Kevin and Bean, I'd like to just so you can think for a second.
You know, my biggest fear, 22 years with Oingo, or no, I mean 17 years with Oingo Boingo. My biggest fear in any show was the moment where something would go wrong, or a guitar string would break, and I'd have to go and talk.
That's so weird.
Like you got to stall on stage for a minute.
That you can sing.
Oh yeah,
fine in front of.
I could sing, but I can't talk.
Wow.
And so no, I don't want to get up and say anything to anybody.
Isn't that interesting?
In front of a microphone ever, if I can help it, and I don't need the praise, and I don't care about being honored. So it's all fine. It's actually, it's good. It's the way it should be.
Let's talk about Danny Elfman performs music from the films of Tim Burton. This is Halloween night, October 31st at the Nokia Theater at LA Live. Tell us about that. There's going to be an orchestra.
This is something else you kind of never wanted to do, right, Danny?
For a different reason. Out. I've been putting this off for 2 decades, but not because I didn't want to, because it was such a huge task. The best way I could describe it is like you live in a big old house with an enormous attic, and that attic is filled with generations of stuff, and it's really dusty, and you know that you need to go up there and spend a couple...
Make some sense of
it. Well, in this case, 3 months. You need to spend 3 months to clear it all up and organize it all. And it's like, you know, if you did it, you'd be really happy with yourself, but getting yourself to commit to that, you'll put it off forever. Well, that's the way it was with this. I mean, I've been asked to do suites, orchestral suites of Tim Burton's work and other stuff for 20 years. And I've just said, yeah, I will next year.
And then 5 and 6 movies a year, and then you're like, I don't have time.
Yeah, and suddenly this came up, and I said, you know, if I'm ever going to do it, I should just really do it and do the whole thing. And so,
what are we going to see on Halloween night?
Halloween night, it's going to be, I'm guessing, an 87-piece orchestra.
Oh, just that?
No, not just that.
Well, it might be 86, or it might be 88. And essentially, I've written 15 suites. The challenge of it, the reason it was so difficult, is we wanted it to encompass my entire career with Tim, and that's 15 films. And so that's unusual. Usually, if you're doing a film night, you pick half a dozen. So I really had to figure out how to express the best of, or to make it interesting, to play 15 entirely different pieces of work back to back.
And you're talking about Batman and Edward Scissorhands and
Beetlejuice, Pee-wee's Big Adventure, Big Fish, Frankenweenie, Corpse Bride. They're all in there. Even Planet of the Apes. You know, I managed to get like a suite in there. So,
is there going to be video to watch?
Yeah, I think there's five of the moments will be with clips in sync, music in sync with them.
And sync is going to be there? That's incredible.
Yeah, the opening act. we figured, you know, what better for a Burton Elfman night but to have in sync.
Now, this is
actually doing a cappella versions of Edward Scissorhands is what we're kind of imagining.
This is going to be your first live U.S. performance in 18 years, I'm told, on Halloween.
Well, yeah, I mean, then I flippantly, my agent asked me, says, so, you know, what about going up there and singing a few songs of Jack Skellington? And I said, oh, yeah, sure. And then, about a month ago, I said, oh, my God.
Did I agree to that?
What have I? What have I done?
And you're going to sing, though.
No! And I realized that I'd backed myself into it and there was no way out. But I think it'll be fun. The first night in Royal Albert Hall in London, I think, is going to be really difficult, because you're right. Well, first off, I've never sung any of these songs publicly ever. So
that
it's not
sense.
Like I'm doing an Oingo Boingo song that
right.
I once knew.
Right, that makes
right.
sense.
I
right.
only sang these in front of a microphone 20 years ago.
Well, let me give out the information for people again. The show is going to be on Halloween night. It's going to be the Nokia Theater in L.A. Live. Tickets are going on sale tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We are giving away some tickets right now, though. Five pairs for people lucky enough to be listening to Danny Elfman on the radio right now at 1-800-520-1067. You win tickets to this show, October 31st, Nokia Theater, L.A. Live. Again, tickets are on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m.
So you have an 87-piece orchestra. You also have a chorus?
A choir, yeah.
A choir.
Yeah.
You're going to be singing.
I'll sing four or five songs from Jack's songs, yeah.
Is it all right if I'm in the audience and I yell, say something?
No, that's what I'll freeze up. Well, I'll say, no.
Okay,
how about that?
I totally understand what you mean about you're singing these songs live for the first time ever, and that's weird. But do you ever miss singing something that you did and were so good at for so long?
You know, it's weird. I'm funny that way. You know, I did a musical theater with the Mystic Knights for 8 years. And when I stopped doing it and started Oingo Boingo, I never thought twice about that.
Never thought that would be cool to do again?
No. And then I did Oingo Boingo for almost 17 years, and then started not doing that. And I never sat there and went, oh, my God. You know, weirdly, if there was something I was nostalgic about, it was the early shows at the Whiskey A Go-Go. So that's the thing that stuck in my head is,
oh, really?
If I had any one thing that I missed the most, it was those early shows where the audience was small and I felt a really close contact and they were real sweaty shows. But
we remember the Halloween shows, of course, at Irvine
yes.
Meadows.
Yeah.
Well, I know, but I've never missed being on a big stage.
Hmm.
It's not that I didn't love doing those shows. But then I moved on, and like I said, I'm pathological about this. And then I do a film score. Now, once I record and mix that film score, I never want to hear it again.
It's gone. You just don't look back.
It's more than just don't get around to it. I think I've got some psychological thing. It's like,
you seem like you're almost allergic to it.
I am allergic to it. So it's like I never listen unless I'm forced to. So of these 80 film scores, only the ones for the box set, because I had to reassemble them
right.
and re-edit them. That's the first time I've ever listened back to one of my earlier
that's
works.
Amazing.
I'm so bad. When I scored Men in Black 3, there was, you know, somebody said, well, you should listen to 1 and 2 and kind of get the feel. I said, I know it.
I don't know.
and I couldn't get myself to listen
to
1 again. I did.
You did know it.
It's
okay.
like, you know, I said, really, do I have to listen to number one again? I can't get myself to do it. Wow. I'll be fine. I'll be fine.
All right. One more time. Danny Elfman's going to be there. Of course, the great John Mascheri is going to be conducting the orchestra that night. 87-piece, roughly, Hollywood Symphony Orchestra, 45-member Page L.A. Choir is going to be there. You and the music from the Tim Burton films, including Batman and Edward Scissorhands.
All of them. Yeah.
All of them.
There'll
be
something from all of them. But you know, it's going to be mainly an orchestra night. So anybody who loves Ever Hearing Me soundtracks, I think we're going to do a pretty damn good job of getting those things played like they should
amazing.
Be played.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
At least the two times I've heard my music played in other suites and other concerts, and I was horrified because because I didn't do it. Somebody else did. I was just listening, and the energy wasn't there. And that's why I never wanted to ever go to other people's renditions of my film music. It's like this time I can make sure that the energy will be correct, because I once heard Batman and once heard Beetlejuice played under tempo.
Oh, no.
And it was like, oh, this is painful.
Have you heard other versions of your music? Just on a side note, have you heard, because it seems like there's lullabies for every type of music, and there's bluegrass, and there's jazz versions. Have you heard that?
Well, I don't know.
Because that would be a disaster, let's be honest.
You know, I wouldn't mind that as much.
You wouldn't?
No, okay. It's not as bad as hearing the piece that I wrote played with the wrong energy.
Poorly, okay.
Or even if it's not poorly, it's just if it's not the right energy, it's not the right energy. And, you know, there's some stuff that I've written that's pretty manic and frantic, you know. And it's like you play Beetlejuice under tempo, it just isn't Beetlejuice.
Right.
You know, Pee-wee's Big Adventure has to feel like it's almost reeling out of control to be right. And so I'll be there to make sure
it's right that night.
Yeah, it is.
Well, we generally avoid any kind of evening where you should probably wear a suit, but this one sounds like worth making an exception for, because it's an amazing night. Tickets going on sale tomorrow morning at
Halloween
10.
Costumes.
Halloween costume. There you go.
Oh, it's Halloween. There's your out.
It is Halloween.
For God's sakes.
That's right.
Come in costume.
Buy your tickets tomorrow when they go on sale. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Danny Elfman stopping by here today.
Thank you very much. Weekend. It's great
we
to be
it,
here.
Man.
You are listening to the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 6:55.
We have a – by the way, how great was it to have Danny Elfman in here? I love that dude so
great.
Much. We haven't seen him in such a long time. We have a super fun 7 o'clock hour planned for you, including comedian Rob Schneider will be here. Back to stand-up after 20 years. We'll find out what that's all about coming up. Plus, we got Depeche Mode tickets for you if you want to call right now at 1-800-520-1067. We'll give you a chance to earn those with a game right after the top of the hour. This is not an easy game, if I remember correctly.
That's correct.
Hardest game in the world.
What? It is a very difficult game. 1-800-520-1067. You play for Depeche Mode tickets coming up next. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Thursday.
Well, apparently Warner Brothers isn't ready to kill that golden goose just yet. They are teaming up with J.K. Rowling for a new series of Harry Potter-themed movies. Here's their loophole. Here's how they get around the whole she's not writing any more stories about Harry Potter.
There's no more books, right?
Yeah. It is going to be a series of new films written by Rowling. This will be your first foray into screenwriting.
Interesting.
Inspired by the Hogwarts textbook, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. Okay. That textbook figures in the Harry Potter world. And it is written by a fictitious author named Newt Scamander.
Newt does good work.
And Newt will be the adventure, the star of the adventures for these new films.
Hmm. So none of the Potter characters show up. It's a completely different universe.
It'll be the stories of that are featured in this book that was featured in Harry Potter. So the people who like Potter are familiar with the book, and now they will follow Newt Scamander as she travels forth and finds fantastic beasts and tells you where to find them. And then there are beasts there.
Is that an accurate recap?
Yes, it is. It's exactly what's going to happen.
All right.
Will it be as big a hit as the Potter franchise?
No.
No.
But it'll probably make a couple bucks. And that, in the end, is really all we care about, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Congratulations to Ariana Grande. She is number one on the Billboard Top 10 list. She is the first artist to debut at number one with her debut album since Kesha. Ain't that something? I know that you aren't familiar with Ariana Grande. She's the 20-year-old star of Sam and Cat over there on Nickelodeon. And she's very pretty.
Is she? Very pretty.
She's tiny, too, and a big voice, very Mariah Carey-esque. I have a clip of her single that helped vault that album to number one, if you want to hear some of that, Ralph.
Sure. Yeah, sure.
What I mean about that voice? Just very distinctive.
See, it's funny because it's not, her.
Tamar Braxton. Familiar with Tamar Braxton?
Yeah, she's a Disney star too, isn't she?
She is Toni Braxton's little sister.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
She is debuting at number two with her CD, Love and War. Nine Inch Nails Hesitation Marks, and its debut was third. John Legend's new CD, Love in the Future, debuted at number four. Then Luke Bryan's Crash My Party. And the rest of the usual round out the top ten. But Ariana Grande.
Good deal.
Who could have guessed?
Congratulations to Randy Jones, the cowboy of the Village People. He's getting married to his longtime partner, software developer Will Grega. So hoping he was going to marry an Indian.
That would have been awesome.
The cowboy and the Indian. We're going to be up there on the altar just getting married. We've done so much to reach across the chasm ourselves and our Native American brothers. But no, it's just a software designer.
Maybe they could settle all that, the disagreement over the word redskin. If just the two of them would get married together, it would just bring the white man and the red man together, wouldn't it?
Exactly. And Mumford & Sons rocking out. They are hardcore rock stars. Officially, they've been thrown out of a strip club. They were ejected from a strip club in Atlanta, the famous Claremont Lounge, which is famous for being sort of the Jumbo's clown room of Atlanta. The strippers there tend to be eclectic.
On the on the downside of their career, maybe?
That's the kindest word anyone's ever used.
They are usually eclectic. More advanced in age than the average stripper. They perhaps
scars.
Have more interesting features about them.
They're seasoned, Ralph. That's all. They've got some experience.
There's an ironic quality of of an evening spent at the Claremont Lounge. It is famous for being sort of a tongue-in-cheek experience.
Well, sounds sexy.
Look, little people need a place to work, too.
So Mumford & Sons were there, and they got tossed out. Apparently, they were trying to take pictures. You don't take pictures at the strip club.
What, are they novices?
Apparently, they are. Look, guys who play banjo probably don't get a lot of strippers in their lives, so maybe they're not familiar with stripper etiquette. They had a tussle with security, and then security had to boot them out. So, yeah! Rock and roll! Mumford & Sons. Good for those guys. Today's celebrity birthday is Emmy Rossum, is 27 years old today. Jennifer Hudson celebrates her 32nd birthday. Our buddy Ben McKenzie from Southland, and of course the OC, he is 35. 2 Chainz is 36. Actor Paul Walker of the Fast and Furious franchise turns 40. Jason Statham.
That's right, Jason Statham. And I'm 46 years old today.
Louis C.K. is 46. By the way, if you haven't seen Blue Jasmine, the new Woody Allen movie, Louis C.K. is really excellent.
Oh, really?
Very, very, very good performance. Ben Folds turns 47. Joe Pantoliano, Joey Pants, 62 years old today. And legendary drummer for Rush, Neil Peart!
Come on.
Ralph is air drumming like a mofo.
How can you not? Neil Peart's the best. No, his mind is not
for rent. Oh, damn, he's good. First time I ever saw the gong, I was like, oh, gotta get one of those.
He has a gong.
Guy's got a gong. He's 61 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
It's the return of one of the all-time great K-Rock bands, Depeche Mode, playing 3 nights at Staples Center, September 28th, September 29th, and October the 2nd. We've got tickets all week long on the Kevin and Bean Show and throughout the day at K-Rock. You can get details at K-Rock.com, or you can win some right now with a game we like to call the hardest game in the world.
Presenting the hardest game in the world.
Good morning, Mr. Announcer Man.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
So I know you and Mrs. Announcer Man like to get out on the town from time to time. Is Depeche Mode a show you guys might take in?
Hell to the yeah!
All right, explain to the callers, please, who maybe haven't heard this one before, how it works.
We'll be playing for you titles of Depeche Mode songs. All you need to do is identify the title we give you, and you're in the drawing. Oh, I think I forgot something. They're going to be backwards!
Yeah! Well, now that doesn't sound easy at all.
It's the hardest game in the world!
All right, who's our first contestant, please?
First up is April.
Hey, April.
Hi.
You ready for the hardest game in the world?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right. This is a Depeche Mode.
Here's a hint. It's a Depeche Mode title, okay? So that gives you something to draw from. If you don't know, at least guess.
Okay. I can play it twice for each caller, and that's all. Here you go. Here's your first time.
Okay.
Sim of Sal.
One more time.
Oh, my God.
Sim of Sal.
Enjoy the silence.
Blasphemous Rumors.
Oh, April.
Sorry.
Nice try. Thanks for playing.
April may not be going.
No. I don't think.
Next up is Indy. She's an accountant. No time for love, Dr. Jones.
Hi, Kevin and Dean. Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited to be playing. And I better get one that I got because Blasphemous Rumors was really hard.
All right.
Okay.
Wow, a lot of demands. What's happening here, Mr.
A lot of restrictions here. Wow.
All right. You ready?
I flashed you, by the way, Dean, on the party bus.
What a waste that was.
Yeah. Two boobs well, thank you for that. Gone, less appreciated.
How dare you. I love Indy, and I hope she wins. All right, good luck. Listen up.
Says he. Hold on, sir.
One more time.
Jesus, yeah.
Says he. Hold on, sir.
By the way, you're half right.
Enjoy the silence.
Well.
You said Jesus, and I said you're half right.
Personal Jesus.
Personal Jesus.
That's what we're looking for.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Thank you.
She's so sad. I don't want a topless girl to be sad. Now I'm sad. Aw. This is a hard game, Mr. Announcer
it's
Man.
It's the hardest game in the world. Next up is Brandon. He's a driver. Yeah.
Hey, Brandon.
What does that mean?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. We don't have anybody in the drawing yet.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping to change that.
All right.
It doesn't look like I might.
Okay, good.
That's the spirit.
Full of confidence. That's good. All right, here's your Depeche Mode song. Good luck.
Hello.
One more time.
Hello.
Imaginer?
Wrong.
Yeah, indeed. Wrong indeed.
Wrong.
Definitely wrong. It did sound like a sick cow. That was a tough one. All right, Mr. Announcer Man, 0 for 3 so far. It turns out this game isn't easy.
It's the hardest game in the world. Ashley, you sell hair products.
Hello. Oh, my God, I'm so nervous.
Why are you yelling at Ashley?
Oh, I'm just telling her.
She's just trying to make a living, Mr. Announcer Man. All right, Ashley, you know how the game is played. How have you been doing listening on hold so far?
I got wrong on Personal Jesus, so let's see.
Give me
a
kind of an easy one here. Let's see.
All right, here you go.
Whole beef, bro. Whole beef.
One more time.
Whole beef, bro. Whole beef.
People are people?
People are people.
Nicely done. You got it. Yes, hold on. Hold on.
You got it.
You didn't automatically win. Hold on. You're in the drawing. But if nobody else gets it, then you will, of course, be the only name in the drawing.
Next up is Desiree. Desiree. My Desiree.
Hey, Desiree.
Hey.
Are you ready for your Depeche Mode song?
I'm ready.
There you go. You get it twice.
Thurstva Isala.
One more time.
Okay.
Thurstva Isala.
Reach out and touch faith.
Policy of Truth.
Oh no!
Sorry,
Desiree.
Hers wasn't even a title either, right? It was lyrics from Personal Jesus she was doing.
She came up with lyrics, yeah.
All right, we got time for just a couple more contestants. So far, only Ashley is in the drawing. Who's next?
Next up is Joe. He operates facilities. What?
Hey, Joe.
Kevin and Bean.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
All right, you ready for your Depeche Mode song?
I'm as ready as I can be.
Good luck. Here you go.
Val Schneertz.
One more time.
Val Schneertz.
Will never let me down again.
Strange Love.
Oh, Joe.
So, what was it?
Strange Love.
Strange love.
Right. I know this game is hard, Mr. Nelson.
It's the hardest game in the world.
But I'm always surprised with ones like that where you can hear Vol. It seems like in your mind you think, well, what does Vol sound like backwards? Oh, it's love.
Oh, I would think it's all easy from this end.
Right.
I'm just saying.
Oh.
No, I'm just,
You're the Stephen Hawking of radio games.
He's just saying looking at the answers, and he doesn't see why people can't get
for
it.
You.
I'm just saying there is something to, if nothing else, the amount of syllables. Like, Never Let Me Down Again is way more syllables than what he heard, which was
maybe we'll play a new game where Bean plays the hardest game in the world, and the listeners bet on whether he'll get it or
That's
not.
That's a great idea.
Because you're so smart.
I'm just trying to help everybody out by pointing out there's a way to crack this game. All right, one more contestant. Who's it going to be?
Michael. He manages accounts.
All right. Michael, hi.
Good morning.
You ready for your Depeche Mode song?
I'm ready.
Bean says it's easy.
I'm just saying if you listen, there are some hints that at least steer you in the right direction. Like, don't say a five-syllable thing if you've only been given two syllables. That's all.
All right, here you go.
Here's your song.
Find it.
You were talking during the first time that I played it, but I can only give it to you twice, so here it is one more time.
Fun to take snacks.
Exactly.
Just can't get enough.
Oh. All right, so Ashley is in the drawing, and then there's Ashley, and of course Ashley. But only one can win, Lisa Mae. Well, who's it going to be?
Let me mix these up a little
good
bit
luck,
better.
Good luck, Ashley.
Okay.
I hope it's Ashley. You're wrong.
I hope it's me.
It's Ashley.
Yes. Oh, my God. Thank you. I'd love to call all day and sit by my radio and call.
Would have been a lot funnier had you not won that drawing. Congratulations, Ashley. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Man.
Thank you.
Is that a beret or a newsman's cap? What are you wearing there, Rob Schneider?
I didn't comb my hair this morning cap. I mean, do you want to see the underneath there?
No. I'm not interested in
the cap on.
I'm interested in trying to pull that look off. What kind of cap is that? I can't quite tell.
It's an Irishman's cap. It's an Irishman's. If you wear that thing, you can get away with it. You play golf with it. You don't have to comb your hair. I remember, like, when I was in Ireland back in the 80s, you know, I read Leon Iris, Terrible Ireland, Terrible Beauty, and I said, I got to go. And so I went around there. And you saw people in Ireland just getting on the bus, didn't comb their hair or anything. Just saw a guy with that red hair just squished to one side where his pillow was. And I went like, I love this place.
It's very freeing, isn't it, to not care what you look like?
Yeah, you just let go. I'm trying to build to that. But I have a wife, so she dresses me and stuff. You better wear the hat, man, if you're not going to comb your hair. Put the hat on and the shirt. You're not going shirtless and hatless today on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Do you go shirtless and hatless a lot?
Sometimes. Yeah. You know, I don't know. You just start working out. I mean, when you get to, I'm 49 now, so, you know. You start thinking about other things. You know, you're not
I
like
think, I think every Rob looks great for 49. By the way,
I'm
don't
hanging in there. I take a lot. I bought a vitamin company, so it's a. I have no seriously. Just this week, me and a buddy just said, "Let's buy a vitamin company." So
you have too much time and or money.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's the case.
I'm doing okay. No, we have this company, Beyond Health International. BeyondHealth.com. That's our vitamin company. We just bought it. But anyway,
why do you need to buy a vitamin company?
Because I got vitamins.
But can't you just buy a bottle of vitamins at the drugstore and just be done with it?
I think it could be a good business, and also I want to get my vitamins cheaper.
And you're going to need more as you get older.
I think it's a good investment, so I'm going to start publicizing it now that we bought 50% of it.
Well, congratulations, I guess, on that. I don't think we've ever congratulated anyone on buying a vitamin company before.
Yeah, well, you will if you take these vitamins.
That's
and
right,
you realize
man.
How good they are and how I could be richer if people know about it.
You should start a perfume then if that's what you
yeah.
want.
Yeah, but it seems like every commercial, you know how you get in your late 40s, every commercial is aimed at you. You know these commercials like, do you not have as much energy as you used to? Do you not have the drive? You want that old romantic drive back? Why don't they just come out and say, you know, is your penis no good? You could have NPD, no good penis, you know, or whatever. You know, it seems like
just call it what it is.
Just call it what it is.
I don't know if you ever watch the nightly news. I know a lot of people don't anymore, but you do feel under-medicated when you watch that show because every single commercial is
I
for not being
it.
Able to pee or something.
No,
right?
It's got
to
be. No, I'm telling you, America is like over 50% of the kids have some kind of chronic illness. And there's like, you have kids with rheumatoid arthritis and diabetes and obesity. It's tough. And then the adults are worse. It's like 75% are messed up. This is a culture that's a mess. No, it's over 50% of all advertising on TV now is some sort of drug aimed at something. Usually, you know, but a lot of them, you know, are the, you know, the drug, like the Viagra kind of stuff.
But sure.
But then there's like every disease imaginable. And then one of my favorite is like, this is depression. Is your normal depression drug not working? You can add Abilify to this and this. I was like, what are you, what's it? You need another drug on top of the drug that isn't working? Go out for a walk, you know, whatever.
No, don't do that.
Of those commercials that I know that they're very heavily regulated in terms of what they can advertise on TV,
yeah,
and that they have to put the possible side effects. But there are some commercials that 20 seconds of the 30 seconds is side effects, and
because
it's
true.
Horrible stuff.
You can,
no,
you
but
know,
the side effects are
always
everything
way
up
worse.
To it, including death.
You
yeah.
know, so you could bleed from your ears and your eyes and your ass.
Yeah,
you know,
anal leakage are two words that I don't ever need to hear for any reason.
Yeah, and then they have to run by them really quickly. You know, you could stop breathing. You could stop, you know, you could stop caring about life. You could stop, you know, you'll want to kill your neighbors. You know, all these.
If that happens, contact your doctor.
Yeah.
The Just Right Medicated Rob Schneider in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah.
Of course, great comedian and actor who is doing stand-up at the
yeah.
Irvine Improv
yeah.
tomorrow night through Sunday. You're doing
yeah.
five big shows.
I can't have
read correctly, Rob, that you have not been doing stand-up for almost 20 years.
I took a break.
That's not possible.
I took a break to become an international movie actor.
That's a retirement. That's not a break.
Yeah, but you know what, though? I saw George Carlin, and I did a movie with Chris Rock. That's what messed me up. And Adam Sandler. But Adam Sandler's been telling me to do stand-up for a long time. But then Chris Rock said, you should get out there and you should do it. I said, "What? I don't know what I talk about. Just talk about what you're talking about with me. We're talking about how good-looking Selma Hayek is at 7 in the morning. Just talk about that." And I said, you can get away with that. You know, like, but then I just started doing it, and I'm enjoying it. To be honest, you know, I don't have to be doing it. I'm doing it. I like it. And it's been fun, you know. And then you could talk about stuff that's interesting. You know, my wife had a baby, which is, we had a little baby girl, which was our second choice. But, you know, by the way, if you want to have a baby by accident, Bean, you try the NuvaRing. Have the wife try the NuvaRing.
Oh,
okay. It's a good tip. Thank you.
We got a NuvaRing accidental baby.
Okay. All right.
The baby's name's Miranda. My wife's Mexican, so she calls it Miranda. So can we just call her Miranda so we can get her into a good school? Well, these are the jokes, people.
Rob Schneider on stage at the Irvine Improv all weekend long. Tickets available now through irvine.improv.com.
And it's a nice
new comedy special. And he's going to New Zealand and Australia. And there's lots of other stuff to talk to Rob Schneider about, including vitamins, when we return on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Making his first visit in way too long, the great Rob Schneider in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Comedian, actor, on stage at the Irvine Improv for 5 shows this weekend, Friday through Sunday. Tickets are on sale now at irvine.improv.com. And by the way, Rob, you were working last night until 1:30 in the morning, and
yeah,
you're bright and early.
Why
today?
Not,
God
baby?
God bless you.
You gotta want
God
it.
Bless you.
And then it's good. It's a good excuse, like, you know, when the kid wakes up later. Honey, I'd love to play with the kid right now. You think I'm ignoring my little baby, my accidental baby? No, I was on Kevin and Bean because I had to promote the show. No, but it's actually, I was excited to come down.
It's been a while. Rob, you kidnapped your wife from Mexico.
Claro.
As you say, reverse kidnapping.
Yes, sir.
What's that been like for you, having a full-blooded Mexican wife?
A lot of begging.
Because I've got a half Mexican wife, and I know how crazy she is. I can't imagine full bore 100% Mexican.
Bean, I'm going to tell you the truth. Every 90 days, she loses her mind completely, and it's like a clock. Every 3 months, she's going to like, I got to go back to Mexico. This isn't working. And I'm like, honey, I just hide
she's
her passport.
Scarface?
I just tie her, just you know, grab a hold of her, sit her down. So this isn't working. I don't know if I can make this work. But I love the thing about the Mexican culture, which is so beautiful. You know, they're such a warm culture. You know, they kiss you hello, they kiss you good morning, they kiss you good night. You know, sometimes they stab you, but most of the time it's a very warm culture.
Every once in a while, they'll cut off a head, but other than that,
and put it in a bag. This your father is in there, your family is in there. No, but it's a beautiful culture. I mean, I really like it. It's just a shame that what happened is a lot of Americans don't realize this. But there's all the guns and the drug cartels. This is all from America. There's 10,000 gun stores on the border of Mexico. 10,000. So people
is that
wanna,
accurate?
Yeah, that's an accurate thing. I got that. You know, like I try to do some jokes about this. You're trying to do, you know, comedians have to be careful when you start talking about serious stuff. You know, that's called Lenny's disease or whatever. Whenever George Carlin dipped in that area, you know, it's starting to like go downhill or something.
Right.
You know, no, George. You know, we're not interested in your political views. We're just interested in you making us laugh. But he would make some points. So you try to dance the dance. Like for me, you know, I try to talk about gun control. And I try to totally suck up to the gun owners because, first of all, you know, if I'm performing in mid-America or someplace, you know, we're like, hey, what you talking about? And I said, because literally, the guys who wanted gun control in Colorado Colorado, where they had the theater shootings. You guys, you got to have some kind of gun. Those guys just yesterday got recalled and kicked out of office, the two people who wanted to put in some gun controls. And this is how this is. And so you talk about it and you try to talk. So I say, hey, I'm a hunter. I first say, hey, I'm a hunter. I suck up. I just kiss ass right away.
Have you ever hunted once?
Yeah, you know, I've hunted about four times.
Okay.
And I say, I hunt. You know, I kill things. You know, I don't just shoot it and leave it there. Sometimes I do. Most of the time I don't. But I don't think you need an automatic weapon to kill a deer unless
right.
you suck, you know? You know the, sorry, Bob. You know, just get a flamethrower, kill it, and cook it at the same time. Let's eat. But, you know, I mean, but you got to have some kind of, I mean, the gun control was so mild. Like, this is what the NRA actually said. NRA said, you can kill somebody with a hammer.
Well,
what are you going to outlaw hammers? And they're right, you know.
They've got a point.
You can kill somebody with a hammer, one guy.
Right.
But you got to be pretty slow to be the second guy killed by that hammer. You know? Hey, there's a guy wailing on a hammer with you over there. We better get the check and get the hell out of here. It's working our way over to us. But Obama's, you know, I mean, literally, the you know, I was like, because I tried to read the paper and stuff like this. And so, you know, get to come up.
Well, I know from following you on Twitter that you are actually pretty political and current events minded.
I try.
Much more so than people would expect from the guy from Grown Ups.
Yeah, exactly. I know, exactly. I know. I'm pigeonholed. Do you know the weird thing about it in America? You get pigeonholed not only as an actor and not only as a comedian. I get pigeonholed as a particular kind of comedian. I was like, I don't know if he can do those kind of comedies. Like, what are you talking about? I could do anything. Just give me a chance, you morons. But that's what happens, you know. But Obama's trying to pass. I mean, this is the legislation. I swear to God, this is how mild the gun control was. We're not going to have any more than 10 bullets per clip. No more clips with more than 10 bullets. No more guns with capacity, more than 10 bullets. No more. This is my Obama impression, by the way.
That's a good
no more
impression.
Clips, more.
I'm glad you identified that.
If you want to, yeah, you know it sucks if somebody has to say what it is. If you want to kill more than 10 people, you've got to take the time to reload. It's like, you know, it doesn't even. So, I mean, so, but you try to do it if it's funny. It's like, you know, you talk about, like, you know, trying to talk about things that Americans just don't really give a crap about.
Hey, that's what a good comedian does, is take you someplace uncomfortable.
Yep. And well, that's the idea.
And then turn it around and make you laugh, and then you're fine with it.
That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to be more, I mean, I want to be more interesting for me and for the audience, but I have to be careful. There's that fine line. If something's just interesting to me, that you then you're a bore, you know. You know, so I'm trying to do that. Trying to talk.
Have
about
you had this. Stuff that you just love, and you think people are going to love, and no one responds to
of
it?
Of course, yeah. my wife usually. Honey, you sure you don't want to try something new? Get off of me. No, but exactly, you try different stuff. You know, some of the things, like, you know, the idea. Well, it's really nice when it's rewarding when it does work, because sometimes it doesn't, but if you believe in something and you keep working it, like, there was this joke, and I really am proud of it, you know, because it's like, it just wasn't working at first, and then people kind of became more interested in the idea, and then I got to become a better joke teller about the joke, and the joke's basically, I'm giving away all my jokes for my Irvine gig this week, but it's like, no, the joke is like, every phone call, cell phone call that you make as an American is being recorded right now.
Right.
Every email that you make is being recorded forever in this giant computer called Prism. And you have to spell it out for them. This is how big the computer is. It takes 65,000 gallons of water a day to keep the darn thing cool. So you kind of paint the picture. And I said, and you're paying for it. Your tax dollars are paying for it. So the next time you lose your cell phone, you should be able to call the National Security Agency and say, hey, listen. I lost my contacts. I know you have them, you a-holes. And send it to my new email. I know you have that, too. So you kind of get the idea. And then you could talk about, because if you talk about Snowden first, then it doesn't make sense.
Right.
And then you say, like, you know, the guy, Edward Snowden, is the guy who told him. He was living in a Moscow airport for a couple months. You know America's going down a dark path when American political prisoners are seeking asylum in Russia. You know?
Yes.
And so it's, you know, you try to, how far they want to go, and, you know, and just working it, you know.
Different parts of the country are different?
Totally. Yeah. You know, it's kind of weird. I'm very, you know, socially liberal and stuff like that. I find, like, my real fans are all Republicans.
Is that right?
It's kind of a weird thing. I have to admit that that's what that is. But, you know, it's okay. But then, because I talk about things and sometimes, you know, whatever, like, and you try to find a way to do it and you hope that they don't laugh the wrong way.
Right.
Does that make sense? Like, I talk about, you know, hey, the Defense of Marriage Act has been ruled unconstitutional. And they're going, okay, where's it going with this? And I said, you know, I think it's that they finally, the Supreme Court ruled that gay and lesbians should have the same rights and benefits as people who are not going to go to hell. And then sometimes the audience goes, you know, they go, woo! And I go, what? No.
That's a joke. No, that's a joke. I'm making fun of you.
But then I do a thing where I talk about, you know, I feel sorry for the gay people who secretly don't want to get married, and now there's all this extra pressure.
They had it out before.
Let's get married. It's legal. Let's just do it. That sounds great, but I still want to bang other guys, you know? So just year thing for the rest of my life.
We are about out of time with Rob Schneider.
No!
I know it's sad.
Good.
I know.
Wow.
I know.
I haven't been on it so long.
Irvine Improv, Friday night through Sunday night. You can get tickets at irvine.improv.com. Real quick before you go, though, because you mentioned this on Twitter also, that you're currently writing your next film. Can you give us a hint? What are you writing about?
Well, you know, I want to do a movie. I'm doing a couple. One is called The Dulo. It's about an Armenian cab driver. I'm spending way too much time in cars going to airports. My Armenian cab driver, his name is Ashat. Ashat. Okay. And he's from, of course, he lives in Glendale. And there's a berth in his cab, and I'm going to play him. Because I play, people like me playing characters, so I'm going to do that. And then he gets really interested in that. And it's kind of like, it's a sweet movie. It's a beautiful movie called Instructions Not Included with Eugenio Derbez. He was on my short-lived CBS show, Rob.
That's the movie that's out now. That's a big box office sensation, right?
It's a sweet little movie. Oh, I'm so proud of him. He's such a great guy, and it's a sweet movie. Please, habla español or no habla español. It's a beautiful movie. Instructions Not Included. Go see it. And I'm working on a sweet movie there. And I'm also working on a movie with a bunch of older comedians that I want to get in there. You know, guys like Dom Herrera, and guys who Norm MacDonald, guys who were like running. Guys who run an Indian casino. And I'm trying to, but just making the plot, making it work, and then also keep my wife and my baby happy. So, you know, I got my own problems.
You got a lot going on, man. It's always great to catch up. And let's not make it so long before the next
time
you come back.
Yeah, I'm in town. So I'm so glad. That was a pleasure to be on. And all the best.
Rob Schneider, everybody.
Thank you. Thank
you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:55.
Dr. Drew, next hour, plus we've got some stories to tell you, and we want you to tell us your stories of calling 911 for all the wrong reasons. Seems like it's happening all the time these days. People just call 911 now to chat.
Well, 911's a joke, isn't it?
That's what I understand.
There's a story a day about this now.
It does seem like it. First, though, Ralph Garman joins us once again for the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday morning Kevin and Bean Show.
By the way, whatever with Dr. Drew.
Whatever. What do you mean whatever?
Whatever with him.
Why?
I'm going with Dr. Rob.
Dr. Rob?
Rob Schneider's just in the other room. He was just selling me some vitamins, and I'm I'm never going to age again. That's the promise I just got. So
hey, I don't know what he's doing.
So
he looks,
all you losers who are aging.
He looks great for 49 years old, by the way.
Yes, he does.
He does, but he just bought the vitamin company like yesterday. I'm not sure that's part of
that
it.
Good.
That's how it already works. It's already showing.
Yes.
All right, well, let us know how that goes,
Ralph. You've seen the day before yesterday. He looked like hell. Now he looks like $1 million.
Ralph's going to come in tomorrow. We're going to go, hey, why is teenage Ralph Garman here? What's happening? Say,
oh, no, it's still me. I'm set. I'm set for life. I should put up the link to the commercial Rob and I did together a couple months ago.
You did one with Rob?
Yeah, we did internet spot for Microsoft.
Really?
Yeah. And
it you as you and Rob as Rob?
No, it was a scenario where it's a casino, and it was a gamble whether you're going to use Google Docs to get your to translate your documents,
okay,
to email them, or you're going to stay with the Microsoft Word,
okay,
program. And so the premise is, it's a Microsoft commercial, so the premise is if you use Google Docs, you run the risk of corrupted data and all this other stuff. So Rob is like a shyster dealer at a table, and I'm the hapless sap who takes the bet and stuff. And it's a funny little spot. Huh. Yeah. Pete Rose shows up in it.
What?
Because there's gambling involved.
Oh, sure.
So Pete Rose has to. But maybe I'll throw
He wasn't supposed to. He just showed up.
He just showed up. Heard there was gambling anywhere, and he just showed up. No, but Rob's funny in it. Nice guy. Gwyneth Paltrow doesn't want you to talk to anybody that knows anybody.
Wait,
ever.
That's Kanye West.
Well, now it's Gwyneth Paltrow.
What?
Apparently, Vanity Fair has got a reporter that's looking for quotes and comments about Gwyneth. And according to the New York Times, she has contacted all of her celebrity friends, all of her family, saying, do not speak to this person. Editor-in-chief for Vanity Fair says they're not too worried. They wouldn't be doing their job, they say, if there wasn't a bit of tension between the magazine and the subjects of its articles. So they're fine with that. They said they'll get their quotes or information someplace.
Yeah, by the way, people always talk.
Always.
Because not all of them are 100% loyal, you know? You got the people who are just on the fringes, they'll talk.
And some people just want to see their name in print.
Yeah.
They just want a little reflected fame, so they figure there's a way to do it. I would say to Gwyneth Paltrow, a little less talking to your friends, a little less driving your Vespa into oncoming traffic.
Seriously.
With your child strapped to the back. Have you seen that video?
No, I haven't.
It's terrifying. Oh, yeah. It's terrifying.
I haven't seen it. Where she cut off the bus? You were talking about
literally pulls out in front of the short bus.
Like it's like she doesn't even know it's there, right?
Like she hadn't even thought about maybe looking over her shoulder before she just pulled out into
traffic.
She's
stopping my people from getting to their class.
She is, for God's sakes.
That's not I would right. have felt terrible if Apple would have been killed by that bus, by the way. Not so much for
the
Gwyneth,
company?
But if Apple, her daughter, on the back of that Vespa would have been killed, that would have been so horrible.
That would have been the worst thing ever. Yeah. And then you'd have to read about it on Goop, which would make it even worse. So
she would say, don't do that.
We just nearly... Breaking Bad.
Yes.
That's going off the air, right?
That's a thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how many more are there? Three? Two? Three?
Two, I want to say.
Two?
Oh. I'm not sure.
Has everybody seen last week's? Bean? Ralph?
Yes.
Oh.
I have not seen last week's.
So bad.
But it was good.
So good. They're all so good.
I think it was Damon Lindelof or J.J. Abrams or somebody who tweeted, Breaking Bad, not only do I no longer know how this is going to end, but now I don't even know how I want it to end.
Yeah.
It's such great writing that they're keeping you so up in the air that no one's sure what's going to happen.
It's awesome.
I mean, let's save this for another time, but I'm curious to hear whether you guys want Walter White to get away with it or if you want him to finally have to, you know, pay the piper for all the horrible things he's done.
How do we want it to end?
How do you want it to end? Yeah.
Look, I know you guys aren't as invested as I am, but I feel the same way about Dexter now that
same
it's
thing.
Wrapping up.
Same thing, but it's not quite as strong, I don't think.
No, but the question
the
is
premise.
The same, though.
The
is, do you want him to get away with it or not?
Right, because he's right on the precipice. Like, you know, he's right around the corner from getting caught, but he's also got his, spoiler alert, his love interest, and he's ready to go on the lam, and he's ready to get out of Miami. And I don't know how I want it to resolve. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's tough.
Anyway, the reason I bring up Breaking Bad is because good news for Breaking Bad fans. They are doing a spin-off series. It's just been announced by AMC called Better Call Saul. Featuring Bob Odenkirk's character, Saul Goodman.
I love him on that show.
He's, of course, the attorney that becomes Walter White's lawyer on the show. And so Bob Odenkirk's going to go off, and Saul will have his own adventures as a lawyer, which I think is a potential for a lot of good stuff.
I like it.
The Voice is going to be over there in the UK. They're going to have a British version of The Voice. Maybe they do already. I'm not sure.
I don't know either.
But they just announced who the judges are going to be over there. Interesting group. Kylie Minogue, one of the judges, Will.i.am of Black Eyed Peas, and Tom Jones. Tom Jones, popular singer from the 60s, Tom Jones will be a judge.
What a weird
of the Voice.
Trio.
It isn't a very odd choice. And speaking of The Voice, our buddy Carson Daly. Congratulations to Carson Daly. He just joined the gang over the Today Show. He will be hosting a segment over there called The Orange Room, which features the guests who are coming on the show in and out, sort of a connective tissue, if you will, between the online presence of Today's show and the TV show. So
couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
I'm glad he's getting another job because he doesn't have nearly
enough. He doesn't
enough.
Have enough. That's true.
He's getting some more work. Harry Potter fans, you're going to be happy. J.K. Rowling has announced she is going forward with a new series of Harry Potter-themed movies. Warner Brothers and J.K. Rowling working together to develop a series of films inspired by one of the textbooks from Hogwarts. Really? They're turning the textbooks from Hogwarts into movies now?
But wait, you're saying she's working... Is she writing
She's
going
to be screenwriting. She will be writing the scripts.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think that would be good then.
Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them is the name of the textbook, so they will follow the adventures of that book's fictitious author, Newt Scamander.
Is that a final answer for the name?
Well, it's always been the name of the author of the book. What are you going to do? She said she hadn't planned on writing it, but when she thought about the idea of that character and that book being turned into a movie series, she couldn't see it in the hands of another writer, so she is taking it on. Plus, she needs the cash. Things are tough.
For
billionaire author.
Somebody who doesn't need the cash, it's her.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Emmy Rossum's 27 years old today. Singer Jennifer Hudson turns 32.
Jay Hutz! Jay Hutz! Hey, Jay Can Hutz. I sing a song for you, Jay Hutz? Jay Hutz! Jay Hutz! Jay Hutz!
What is that happening?
Why is he calling her Hutz, first of all?
I don't know.
It should be Hutz. No. It should be Hutz, right?
He probably doesn't know that it's not Hudson. I'd give her a bell, too.
Absolutely, I'd give her a bell. But if she had turned around and said, yeah, Bear Bug, sing a song for me, what was your plan?
He's not in the room.
Okay.
I guess
this
was his plan. He would have disappeared on her like he disappears on us during each segment. He just runs out of the room. Ben McKenzie of Southland, 35 years old today. Rapper 2 Chainz is 36. Paul Walker turns 40. Jason Statham's 46, as is Louis C.K. Ben Folds, 5. Ben Folds is 47 years old. Joey Pants,
Great actor, Joey Pantoliano. He is 62 years old.
Hey, Ralph, if we have time next hour, I'd like to tell the story of our breakfast with
I don't think
Ben
we need
Folds.
To revisit that. I don't think there's
I would
a,
love to revisit
have to go
that.
Back
I forgot
to
all
that.
About that. So you
come
just
on.
Brought it up. I was, for a minute, I was thinking,
sleeping
we
dogs
breakfast
die.
With Joe Pants? I don't know.
That was yeah. the biggest bean meltdown in history.
That's true. It really was. Next hour, we'll spend some time.
Sorry, we're out of time.
Yeah, we have more show. We'll get to it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We are giving away Depeche Mode tickets once again this morning, just after 9 o'clock this morning, for their upcoming show at Staples Center. And by the way, looking ahead toward tomorrow's Kevin and Bean Show, how about this? We have the producers of Cops still on the air. Cops going to be joining us in studio tomorrow.
One of the best series ever.
It sure is. Cousin Sal is going to be on with his Week 2 NFL picks. And the beautiful Yvonne Strahovski, speaking of Dexter, is going to be joining us. That's tomorrow morning, right here along with Ralph's Movie Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
First, let's do this.
To get up, get down. 911 is joking, yo, down.
All right, these stories come up all the time. People call 911 for the dumbest reasons. You know, you didn't get the burger that you wanted. Whatever it happens to be. The latest one was this Toronto International Film Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And there was somebody that was blogging and tweeting from one of the movie screenings. And so somebody else in the theater called 911 to tell on them. But the person that was in the theater that called 911 was talking on his cell phone
right.
in a movie.
He says that he went to the management at the movie theater at the Toronto Film Festival and said, hey, there's somebody who is blogging and tweeting from the theater. Stop them. And the person did not stop them. So the guy thought, hey, this is a piracy issue. So it's a police matter. So he called 911 to try to get the police to come out and stop the guy from blogging from a film. And again, maybe he misunderstands that 911 is for actual emergencies. There is such thing as a non-emergency police number. But if you're the type of person who has called 911, maybe you, in retrospect, it wasn't the appropriate number to call. We want to hear from you. We want you to call us at 1-800-520-1067 and tell us what you called 911 for, or somebody with you has called 911 for.
Yes, and I think it's a given that alcohol is going to be involved.
So most of the time.
We don't have to have that conversation necessarily, but you called 911 for a dumb reason. Like this, for example. We're all big fans of Breaking Bad. Well, this woman's cable went out. And it was during Breaking Bad, and she wanted to see Breaking Bad. So what do you do in that situation?
What do you do?
You call 911.
Fairfield 911.
Hi, I'm just trying to figure out what's going on. We have no TV.
Ma'am, what? 911 is for life-threatening emergencies.
I know that. I know that.
Threatening emergency?
No, we're just trying to find out what's going on. Is it a life-threatening time?
I suggest that you call Cablevision or whatever your provider is.
Thank
have
you.
A good night.
I love her, man. She's not putting up with anything.
She really wasn't backing down.
Yeah, I know it's for emergencies, but what about my Breaking Bad?
By the way, I know we've talked to and about 911 operators before, but how do they not go postal?
Well, you
I
heard don't know. The anger in that guy's voice.
I don't know. If you're a 911 operator, I wouldn't mind having somebody email us and set or tweet us and set up a ask a 911 operator
yeah.
again. Because
yeah, I think it's time to do that again because it's crazy how much time is wasted answering calls that do not require emergency services.
For example, if you go to an all-you-can-eat fish restaurant, what do you expect?
All-you-can-eat fish.
All-you-can-eat fish.
What if you don't get all-you-can-eat?
911.
911.
What do you need the Evansville Police Department for?
Well, even at the restaurant. I can eat fish.
Uh-huh.
I just asked for some more fish. They gave me 4 pieces.
Okay.
And they refused to give me any more fish. And it's right out on the sign in front of the building, all you can eat Friday fish fry.
How fat does he sound?
That guy is 600 pounds.
He didn't get that fat eating fish, I'll tell you that. Again, maybe not appropriate. Maybe you find the manager of the restaurant, you call the owner of the restaurant, maybe the Better Business Bureau. 911 really shouldn't come into play.
1-800-520-1067. What if you go to McDonald's? Let's say you go to McDonald's.
Okay.
And you order 7 cheeseburgers.
Oh, so this is Beer Mug's story. We're telling his story now.
Yes, correct. And they give you 6.
Oh, no, they didn't.
Instead of 7. 911.
I'm up here at McDonald's up here. And I ordered like 7 burgers, and I went to my vehicle, right, and I came by telling them that they took a burger from me. I told them they gave me 6 burgers, and they want to give me a burger.
and won't give him his burger. And that's a 911. That's a police situation. He needs the police.
All right, let's take one call before the break, just real fast at 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Ralph on line four. We're looking for your stories or your friends. You know, friends were with you when 911 was called, and maybe it wasn't exactly an emergency. Is that you, Ralph? Are we talking about you right now?
Yeah, I was still in the morning. I was drunk. I didn't want to drive, so I ended up going on Jack because I knew the dining room was open 24 hours. And got there, the punks were dancing in the lobby, looking at me, knocking on the door. I ended up getting mad, called a cop. They came out. They told me to leave. I was going to get arrested.
So the employees inside the Jack in the Box that was already closed.
Yeah, no, they were open, but on the sign it said the dining room was open 24 hours, and so was the drive-thru. So I walked there, knowing that they were open, and they had the doors locked. They started dancing. I knocked, and I ended up pounding on the glass. They did not open, so I got mad and called. Cops came. They told me to leave, or I was going to get arrested.
I love it.
Sometimes you just need a jumbo jack. Am I right, Ralph?
That's right.
All right, sir. Thank you for the call. 1-800-520-1067. You treated 911 just like a joke. We'll take your calls next on the Kevin and Sean Kiss.
Clock.
To get up or get down. 911 is joking. Yo,
you know, sometimes, Lisa, you're uncomfortable. The thermostat's 2 degrees hotter than you'd like it to be in the studio. You could always call 911.
That's true.
That's
what it's there for. Yeah. Or wait, maybe it's for emergencies only. We're taking your calls here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You called 911 for a dumb reason. Let's go to Jeremy. He's on line two. I think he speaks for a lot of our listeners in this situation. Hi, Jeremy. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Kevin, Bean, Lisa, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, so real quick, got high. Real high, bad batch.
Oh,
like,
no.
So messed up. I said, man, I turned my brain. I go, I don't feel good at all. He's laughing at me. So I call 911. He's out there asking me what I took. I'm laughing. I'm being happy. I'm describing, hey, you should try it, but I don't feel good.
You should try it. You're still recommending it while you're calling them to say. Now, were you paranoid? Did you get that I'm going to die paranoia?
Yeah, I did.
Love that sucked.
Sweating, started throwing up.
Love it.
On the ground in the field position, they came. They tried to gave me some charcoal stuff to try to get out of my stomach. My parents came, and I just that was it for me.
Now, I don't want to shoot our own bit in the foot here, but that sounds like a legitimate call to 911 if you actually are having a medical emergency where you think you're going to die.
Yeah, but you're not.
No, I'm not. Well, I didn't think so. Well, marijuana, you know, it's safe to me, so.
Well, right. I mean, I don't think anyone's died from marijuana, have they?
I don't think so.
I know Lisa May was so worried.
I thought I was.
She wanted us to call 911.
I did ask you to.
And we were like, no, we're not calling 911. You're going to live.
What I love about Jeremy, though, is that experience obviously didn't prevent him from getting so high and calling the Kevin and Bean Show today.
Of course.
thank you, Jeremy. Appreciate that. Let's try, we got some great ones here. Let's try Alfred. Alfred is on line four, and he's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Alfred, 911 is a joke. Why?
Hey, so what's going on, guys? I work as a paramedic, so we see it all.
Right.
And one particular one that stands out, it's 4 in the morning in the high desert. It's like 19 degrees outside. This lady calls because says her hands are too cold. So I walk in and I said, well, all your windows are open. Your door is open.
What?
Like, you know, it's 19 degrees outside. I'm like, your hands are probably going to be cold. She goes, no, they're colder than usual. I said, oh, okay.
So she always leaves the windows and door open?
I don't know if she always does, but that day when we showed up, you know, it's typical to have the door open. People just want us to walk in, but her windows were all open.
So you just said
her slider was open.
Did you just say peace out?
Yeah, right. I'm like, well, I offered her some hot packs, see if she could give her comfort that way. She's like, no. She's like, I want to go to the hospital. Asked her what she thought the hospital would do for her.
Right.
Regarding her cold hands. So she says, oh, it's your job. You got to take me.
So, that sucks.
No, she's ordering
Did
you
around. Take her?
So she, and it's true, you know, when you respond to an emergency, whether it's an emergency or not, you can't refuse them.
You have to take her.
Oh, yeah, you have to take them. You have to load them up. So here we are at 4 in the morning, 19 degrees.
Wow.
It's cold as hell. I don't even want to be out of bed. But,
I hope you drove to the hospital with the windows open.
Thank you for the call, Alfred. Appreciate that. Let's go to Tiana real quick. She's on line one. She's got a great story for us, too. Hi, Tiana. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa May.
Hi there.
I have a friend who got really drunk in Hollywood.
Is this friend's name Tiana?
No, I'm not this stupid.
Okay.
He got really, really drunk and called 911 to give him a car ride home.
Oh, see, now I see stories all the time in the news where people think 911 is a cab service.
Well, yeah. I mean, she knows drinking and driving is illegal.
Right.
So maybe she's just thinking the next step is the police will protect her from doing this. She doesn't want to drive drunk, but the police are not just going to pick you up.
You call a cab. You get on your Uber app. That's what you do there. All right, Tiana, thanks very much. Hey, one more we want to play for you from the 911 is a joke file, and that is this guy apparently called because he didn't like the way the deli was making his sandwich, and I love the way the 911 operator handled this. Listen up.
I'm at Grateful Deli, and I specifically asked for little turkey and little ham. And a lot of cheese and a lot of mayonnaise, and they're giving me a hard time with them. If you stop by and just, I was just wondering if you could just.
You're calling 911 because you don't like the way that they're making your sandwich.
Exactly.
So then don't buy it.
Yeah.
What?
Finally.
No.
Finally.
I think we've got a problem with our friend Dr. Drew. By the way,
what?
He just seems to be enjoying the HLN show too much. There's so much glee in all the death, all the murder that's going on.
Oh, glee, says the guy who loves death.
Yes. I'm suspecting that Dr. Drew has a kill room. He just walks out of that HLN studio every night, just blood splattered from all the stories they're talking about wives killing their husbands and kids killing their parents. It's just, Dr. Drew, is it starting to affect you psychologically? What's going on with you, buddy?
It actually is. It's not my choice, I must tell you. I do think of you often, Bean, as these stories come up, so
sure.
Be fair. But it is seemed to be something that the HLN audience is fascinated by, and particularly the rash of wives killing husbands. We have this new story of this woman that 8 days into her wedding decided to push her husband off a cliff.
Well, listen, she gave it 8 days.
That could happen to any of us.
You know?
It's a story that makes you look at... Listen, you report enough of these stories, you look at each other, people just go... Oh, my God, what are you capable of?
Dr. Drew comes home every night and he goes, honey, is everything cool?
Are we cool?
Right. Well, it is crazy. I haven't been following that story too much beyond the headlines, but why didn't she just call off the wedding a week earlier? Why did she go ahead and go through with it and then kill the dude?
And to me, that thinking where everyone goes, oh, no, she's a cold-blooded murderer, not that, hey, she slipped and pushed the guy forward.
Was it an accident?
Or could have been, or they got in a little fight and things went a little too far in the wrong location. But the point is, I'm so stunned at the way people jump to, oh, no, she was planning this for weeks. How many people do you know really would do something like that? I've been dealing with a lot of crazy people for a long time.
Yeah.
Never met anybody that would get married and then plan a murder. That doesn't make sense to me at all.
Unless it's an insurance thing.
Yeah, unless there's some clear motivation, but there's nothing like... Oh, yeah.
But that's so obvious right after they get married.
Exactly. Yeah, you stick it out for 2 years, and then you kill them. Right,
that's what I do.
Dr. Drew, we just think you need to be around some couples that are happy. Just every once in a while.
Thanks. So you guys are out?
We're definitely out. Hey, listen, while we have you on the phone, we check in with Dr. Drew from Loveline every Thursday morning here on the Kevin Amin Show about issues that involve medicine in the news. And there's one that I have really been paying a lot of attention to. First of all, there was a rash of kids, like 8-year-old, 10-year-old, 12-year-old kids who died this preseason in junior high and high school football. I saw a lot of that. And now there are two separate Major League Baseball players who are catchers who are both sidelined because of concussions. Yeah. Now, concussions is one of those words that I hear thrown around a lot, and I suspect that there's a lot going on with concussions I don't know about. What does it mean when you have a concussion, doctor?
It basically means that the simplest way to think about it is that your brain has rattled around in your skull to the point where it sort of bruised itself almost. And as a result, there's been some alteration of your sensorium. You either became unable to lay memory down going forward, or you forget what's happening just before the event, or you become unconscious. In any of these situations, if that happens more than a couple, well, really three times the threshold, three major concussions, and you're at risk for really serious neurological problems, things like dementia come on early and more likely. And so we're paying much more attention. We now understand that, you know, these collision sports can really harm people.
I've had five concussions. Does that surprise anyone?
Seriously, I mean,
I have,
can't
yeah.
tell at all, Kevin.
Yeah, I had to pull my son out of football after his third concussion. And,
well, I've seen a lot of – I've seen several NFL players and retired players say they would not let their kids play football because of the fear of concussions. I mean, it's gotten to that point now where some people are saying it's not worth it.
Plus, didn't the NFL make a big settlement?
Yes, a recently big settlement because of all the disability caused by these recurrent head injuries. And let's be fair, it's not the concussion they're afraid of. It's the long-term consequences of the concussions. And thank God we're paying attention to this these days. And, you know, it's funny, not funny at all, but I actually resuscitated a kid on the sideline who had an intracranial bleed during a football game.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so things can, yeah, bad things can happen in your head during football games.
Dr. Drew, why do they try to keep you conscious after you've had a concussion? They try to keep you awake and talking rather than let you go to sleep. What's that mean?
It's really just to monitor your level of alertness to make sure you're not deteriorating. It's called serial neurological exams. In the hospital, you do other things in addition to just the sensorium checks. But again, the things like an intracranial bleed or a subdural hematoma, these things can happen later, and the sign would be, hey, you're deteriorating, you're becoming less arousable, and you wouldn't know that if somebody's asleep.
Most of the time, if somebody has a concussion playing sports or something like that, do they just shake it off and they're fine and there's no consequences?
Well, I, the concern is that perhaps most of the time, and to be accurate, most of the time, I think kids don't report it because they know they're going to get pulled out of the game.
That was me.
And, did you really have 5 concussions?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, that explains so much.
And how many times did I go to the doctor?
0.
That's correct.
And back then, it was sort of a badge of glory. Like, hey, man, you seemed out of it. Yeah, I was. I don't know what the hell happened.
I was sure was dizzy. Let's get back out there.
Yeah, and that's, in fact, the kid that I had to resuscitate. He wasn't reporting that he was having photophobia, bright lights were bothering him. He was having severe headaches, and then pow, out.
Wow.
Is there any way to avoid a concussion?
Don't play football. Don't let a baseball hit you in the head. Okay. People are trying desperately.
Wait. Don't let a baseball hit you in the head?
That's right. I know it's shocking. but there, people are working hard on technologies to try to reduce the risk. But it's obviously impossible because a lot of concussion is the so-called deceleration or counter-coup injury. You know, your brain kind of floats in a fluid like a pickle in a jar. And if you shake the jar, that pickle is going to fly around. And that's no matter how much you cushion.
What if you have a super tiny
brain?
Yeah.
It moves right even more.
I was
going to
say,
right?
Pickle.
Think about it. It moves right even more. But it can hit the side of the skull, and there you got your problem.
Wow, this answers so many questions.
All these years into having Dr. Drew on the show, that today would be the day that Kevin would finally be diagnosed. Who would have ever imagined today?
I've been trying, struggling, and now it comes right into focus.
Now we know. Dr. Drew is the host of Loveline 5 nights a week with our good friend Mike Catherwood here on KROQ. And don't forget, you can now get the Loveline podcast for free from
Big
Podcast
deal.
One. Yep. Dr. Drew's podcasts are also available there and at drdrew.com. And you can see him on call on HLN Monday through Friday nights at 6. Thanks, Doc.
Good.
That album, by the way, from Bastille called Bad Blood is finally out and is so great. If you like that song, I guarantee you'll like the rest of it. So definitely pick that up. Hey, Ralph, did you hear the big news a few minutes ago on the Kevin Amin Show?
No, what happened?
We found out that Kevin has had 5 concussions in his life.
At least.
Doesn't that explain everything?
Yeah, it pretty much does.
Come on now.
Dr. Drew was so happy to hear that because he says he's been puzzled for so long what could be wrong with Kevin, and now he has a hint.
Kevin. This is making insanely good sense to me.
You have to imagine, Kevin, 5 concussions would, you think, have some effect on your...
Well, I didn't really
centers of your brain.
I didn't really think about that until Dr. Drew just said any more than 3.
Yeah, you're in serious trouble. If it happens more than 3 times, it's really going to cause some serious damage.
Yeah. So,
but I'm damaged. Let's be honest. Right. So I know it.
Now we know.
All right.
All
now we know.
All those years, we said, "Geez, what the hell?"
And there was something else. It was that other disease that you told me I had.
Yeah,
I can't remember what that was, but yeah. I think I have both.
He's got them all. I think he's got everything.
Tongue dysplasia, I think it's called. You have too.
Hey, brand new Kevin Amin Internet Roundup for your listening pleasure coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, how about Ralph Garman and the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday?
Since we're doing our celebrity health update, congratulations to Biz Markie.
Yeah, Biz!
The Biz. Biz was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes.
Oh, that's not fun.
About a year ago. And so with diet, exercise, and cutting way back on sugary foods, Biz has gone from a scale-busting 385 pounds to a svelte 244 pounds. He weighs less than Beer Mug now.
What?
Yep. Biz Markie lost 141 pounds.
Oh, baby!
That's right, Biz. insulin. Got what you need, Fizz.
You think he sings better now?
Nope.
No, okay.
Says he wants to lose at least 30 more pounds. Get down to his fighting weight of 214. So, congratulations, Biz. Biz, by the way, is a big part of the Yo Gabba Gabba television program that my daughter enjoys so much.
That's a big Biz, part of your life now.
Biz's Beats is a little segment he has where he'll go, "Happy birthday!" Like, he'll just make up.
Does he do it better than that?
Yes. Not much, though. And then my wife, who's not familiar with the great Biz, was watching when we first started watching that show, and she said, "Why are they putting a special needs person on Yo Gabba?" I said, "He's not special needs. He's Biz.
Marky.
He's the Biz."
It's amazing what bad TV you'll watch to make your kids happy.
Yeah. I'll tell you.
Some of it's good.
Kids entertainment is much more entertaining now than it was when I was
some
a kid.
Of it's good, but some of it is just unbearable.
Give me a nice run of Fresh Beat Band and Yo Gabba Gabba. Right. I'm a happy fella.
SpongeBob's good with me.
SpongeBob also works. Yep. Works.
Bean likes them all.
Oh, sure. Because that's how he lures the kids into the panel van. He just puts them on a loop on a big screen with the doors open. And then
that ice cream sound.
That's right.
Blaring.
He's got that. He's got Rolos just going down the street, just leading up to the back of the van. And then there's just a net hanging from the ceiling that he drops with a ripcord.
That's a net?
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like a fishing,
drags it behind the van for a while.
Fishing net? No, it's in the ceiling of the van.
Oh, in the van. Okay.
They come in to watch Gabba Gabba and have a nice Rolo, and the next thing you know, boom, just drops on him. And
I think I would like to shower with you.
Bean pulls out of the parking lot, laying rubber.
I cannot believe that I'm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, your
Bean's
turn.
Bean's an asshole.
Yeah.
I cannot believe that I'm actually thinking about blanking your blank.
Yeah, I can't believe that either, Bean. Sirius XM Radio is being sued.
For what?
Who now?
By what's left of the music industry.
Oh.
It turns out, and I had no idea, that you don't have to pay royalties. Well, I guess this is in debate,
what?
But you don't have to pay royalties to music that was released before 1972. Did you know this?
No.
Yeah, I have read something about that lately.
Sound recordings didn't get federal copyright protection until 1972.
Okay.
So anything that came out before then was considered exempt from airplay royalties.
So what that means, we have to pay, you know, the artist,
every
the writer,
play a track.
Every time we play a song, K-Rock has to, you know, scratch out a check.
But I guess the major record labels are claiming that they have not paid for any of these royalties and that in the spirit of the law, they should. Just because this law was passed in 72 doesn't mean that songs released before that are exempt from their due royalties, they claim.
Now, didn't I read one of these lawsuits, Ralph? Maybe it's the same one as by the guys in the Turtles who are suing?
That was one.
Okay.
And now several other record labels have banded together to sue them with a difference. This is the third lawsuit that's been filed against Sirius XM for the past few weeks.
People who create great art should be satisfied with that and shouldn't expect to also get paid, Ralph.
That's a good
said
point.
Somebody.
Apparently,
said no one.
Dionne Warwick is one of the people named in the lawsuit. She is suing them as well. She released a statement saying, "The great artists that played on the 40s, 50s, and 60s stations should be treated with the same respect and properly compensated as Sirius XM is required to do. So I'm asking Sirius XM not to walk on by and
Whoa,
do the right
no,
thing."
No, she did.
She pulled a bean on him.
Put her in the file. Can we do that?
We have to put Dionne Warwick in the file. She beaned him. They got beaned by Dionne Warwick.
Awesome. Dionne Warwick is one of those artists, by the way, who musically I couldn't be a bigger fan of. Just made some of the best pop music ever.
Really?
But when I saw her on Celebrity Apprentice, a couple of I hate that bitch
she's,
now.
She's
I never want good things to happen to her ever. I'm so glad she's angry at Sirius right now.
She's a horrible person.
She's a terrible human.
Yes. And this is interesting casting. I'm perplexed and yet intrigued. There's going to be a new movie that is going into production called Elvis and Nixon. You familiar with this? This is a famous meeting that Elvis had with Nixon in 1970, where Elvis showed up at the White House and said, "I'd like to meet the president, please." And then when they finally got together, Elvis asked the president to make him a special federal agent at large on the war against drugs.
I did hear about that.
He wanted
a
badge.
Wrote a book about it.
Was that
real?
Gun. This actually happened.
Wow.
And there was a TV movie made about this years ago, starring a couple unknowns as Elvis and the president. But they're making a big a screen feature version of this. And it's just been announced that Michael Shannon is in talks to star as Elvis from Boardwalk Empire, General Zod, from Man of Steel. Hmm. I think Michael Shannon's a brilliant actor, but I cannot see him as Elvis in a million years.
That does seem odd.
No word yet on who is going to play the president.
Farrah Abramson?
Farrah Abramson has the inside track, yeah.
Will my favorite Elvis song be in the movie?
Really? That is what a shoehorn.
You shoehorned it in, but I'm in favor.
Excuse me.
I love
the artist's name is Elvis on that song.
Oh, okay.
Good point.
All right.
Touche.
All right, that makes more sense.
You take it back?
Touche,
yeah.
I don't know if applause is necessary. Just didn't suck as much as I thought it did. I didn't see the immediate connection there.
Her bad. That was funny.
Elvis. Elvis. Very close.
Close enough.
Today's celebrity birthday is Emmy Rossum's 27 years old. Today, Jennifer Hudson turns 32. I can't say Jennifer Hudson anymore without
hearing Muggs. Hudson.
Did you know that her name was Hudson?
Give
with
me a little
D?
J. Hudson.
With a D?
Yeah.
Certainly.
J. Hutz! Can I sing a song for you, J. Hutz? J. Hutz! J. Hutz! J. Hutz!
What are you doing?
You're saying J. Hutz. You're saying Hutz even. You're saying J-H-O-T-S.
No, I'm saying J. Hutz. H-U-D-S.
That's Hutz.
Hutz.
It's Huds.
Well, I was kind of...
Huds would be a D. Hutz. Sounds like Hutz. Hutz. Like you live on Gilligan's Island.
Are you Peyton Manning?
I was putting emphasis on the Hutz.
Right.
But it's
Huds. What we're saying is it's a D, not a T.
Her name is Hudson. Hudson. Jay Huds would be if it was anything, not Huts.
Did you know her name was with a D, not a T, Muggs?
Yes, I wasn't saying it with a T. I was saying it with
Play
a...
it again.
All right, let's hear it.
Jay Huds! Jay Huds!
All right, that first one, there couldn't be more of a T.
Jay Huds!
Huts.
You hear...
Huts!
We are ruling against you, Muggs.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
And if she has been mentioned last time when you were conveniently out of the room, were she to turn around and say to you, okay, yes, you can sing a song for me, what would you have done?
Absolutely nothing.
Great.
Story of your life right there. Given the opportunity, Muggs, what would you do? The answer almost is always absolutely nothing. Actor Ben McKenzie's 35, 2 Chainz is 36, Paul Walker turns 40 years old today. Actor Jason Statham is 46, as is legendary comedian Louis C.K. We still don't have time for the Ben Folds story.
Oh, we don't.
Oh, maybe, what a shame.
Maybe in 45 minutes.
Yeah.
We do
what
the
a shame.
Show Ben Folds is 47 years old today. Joe Pantoliano. Hardest name to say in show business, by the way. Joey Pants, we call him. 62 years old, and drummer Neil Peart of Rush turned 61. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Believe it or not, you get a chance to see Danny Elfman in concert on Halloween night. Sounds like old times, right? We'll tell you all about it with Mr. Elfman himself coming up in about 15 minutes or so right here on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, how about a brand new internet roundup?
Click that mouse and open your browser. Plug your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's internet roundup.
We look for the best viral video clips of the week and put them in one great location at kevinandbean.com or krec.com. You can check out the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup anytime to see these videos that we'll spotlight on the air and so much more. And the first one has our good friend Sarah Silverman in it, along with David Alan Greer, Dionne Cole, and more. And basically what they're doing is they're answering the challenge of the NRA, talking about the Stand Your Ground laws and how everybody needs guns. And they've come up with a solution that they're not sure the NRA is going to love, and that's a new organization called the Black NRA. Let's see what this sounds like.
Our fund will put guns into the hands of those that need them most.
Young black males.
Young black males.
Young black males.
In an ideal world, no one would need guns.
But if some people have them, then we all should have one.
Guys, I have over 20 black friends, and I intend to give them all guns.
Yeah, that's
so
awesome.
They're basically saying to the NRA, that's what you mean, right, when you want everybody to have guns. Our friends at Honest Trailers are back, too. How great is every video these people make?
Very funny. Just,
they managed to take movies that we go to see that we love and make them sound terrible like they do with Iron Man 3.
Prepare for an Iron Man movie with hardly any Iron Man in it and no AC/DC either. Suit up with billionaire Tony Stark as he doesn't suit up in a summer blockbuster that for no reason at all takes place on Christmas and see him like you've never wanted to see him before. Insecure.
I'm a piping hot mess.
anxious.
Check the heart, check the, is it the brain?
And paralyzed with fear.
God, what am I going to do?
Poor Iron Man. That guy, by the way, the guy with the big, big voice who does those movie trailers, they put him on the street at Comic-Con, and he walks around like in intersections in San Diego behind people and does real-life voice trailers while he's standing on the street with people. And you should see the looks in the face when they realize that he's doing a movie trailer about them. Listen to this.
This is the epic movie voice prank. The government wants her dead because she's got too much junk in her trunk. The guy who copied his haircut from Tom Hanks in Forrest Gump.
Are you talking to yourself?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The guy who's too stupid to know better.
That one you've got to see all of. It's just hilarious. Grand Theft Auto 5, very funny video. They've turned it into a musical. The girls are all complaining that all the guys want to do is play GTA, and they soon find out why, because it's the best game ever.
GTA, our whole relationship has gone astray. He doesn't listen to a word I say. Screw GTA.
GTA. Don't really care if I am getting laid. Because, man, we're definitely getting laid in GTA.
And soon everybody realizes that's all they want to do is just play Grand Theft Auto because it's awesome. Sure. It is way better than the real life, isn't it?
Oh, no question.
Here's a very funny video called It's Not Porn, It's HBO. And it's interesting. They're pointing out that HBO is such a prestige network that you can do the filthiest, sexiest things on TV. And for some reason, it's not considered porn because it's on HBO and that's a prestige network. So it's classy if it's on HBO. If you did the exact same scene anywhere else, you're just in porn. And we find out what it's like for the actress talking to her friends about it.
Hey, hi. My agent just called. I got offered the coolest part. It's not a ton of dialogue, but it's going to be so great for me. I know it.
What is it?
So basically my character's in this ratty apartment, and this guy I'm seeing comes in, and he's like, get down on all fours. I'm like, okay. And I start crawling, and he follows me into the bedroom, and then he flips up the back of my skirt and starts...
See, it's not porn, though. It's not, don't misunderstand. It's HBO.
It's HBO.
All right, here's the best video of the week. Everybody is talking about this. Kevin, you think this one might be what, fake? You don't believe the...
I don't know if it's fake. It seems like maybe because we've seen these so many when people come out of anesthesia.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like maybe they had that set up ahead of time. I'm going to film and you right. be funny. I don't know. I could be wrong.
The wife is filming her husband. He's just had his fifth hernia or sixth, I think, hernia surgery in the 5 years that they've been married, if I have the numbers right. And he's coming out of anesthesia and he sees this beautiful woman standing at his bedside and he doesn't recognize her, doesn't know who she is. And boy, is she impressed when he says this to her, again, talking to his own wife.
Did the doctor send you? Man, you are eye candy. Whoa. Hey, you could be the prettiest woman I've ever seen. Are you a model? What's your name?
My name's Candace. I'm your wife.
You're my wife?
Yeah.
Holy
It sounds real, but it's hard to imagine that you would actually forget who your wife was.
It does. And what if he said, wow, you're ugly?
Yeah, it could have been way worse. It could have been way worse. He does. He's such a dude, though. He sees his hot chick at the bedside. He's asking her to turn around, asking her if they kissed. It's very funny. We just have time for one more. Jimmy Fallon, who does the late night show over there on NBC, he does the greatest musical videos where he, you know, sings and dances with Justin Timberlake and stuff like that. Well, he had Ariana Grande on, who has the number one album in America. She's this little tiny girl who's a big, big voice singer right now. And they did a medley of rap songs done as if they were on Broadway. So Jimmy Fallon is playing piano and singing. Ariana Grande is singing along. And here's a little bit of what that sounds like.
Hey, Ariana. Can we go thrift shopping?
What? Said I'm gonna pop some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a come up. This is awesome.
That
a voice, by the way.
Yeah, no kidding.
And you should hear their 99 Problems. It's awesome. You can see all these videos and so much more at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
It's Friday, right?
Oh.
106.7.
It's so.
K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 9:42.
I'm going to defend my awfulness. I'm trying to prove you wrong.
I had in the office pool that Beer Mug would not make it to 30 years of age. I think I might win this one.
Yeah, it's possible.
I think Ralph may kill him sometime between now and Saturday. All right, time for the showbiz beat now. Ralph joins us in studio like you do about this time every hour. What's going on?
Before I get to the beat, how about this? I've got a new TV show that I want you to watch. It's called Dads.
Yeah!
That's Seth Green, right?
New Fox comedy from Seth Green and the boys who brought you a Family Guy and the movie Ted, starring some alumni from those popular entertainments. You got Seth Green, of course, from Family Guy. He plays Chris on that, and we know him from Robot Chicken and his many other funny projects. And then we got Giovanni Ribisi.
Nice.
Who's awesome. Who was in Ted, was the creepy guy in Ted. He's also in the upcoming Million Ways to Die in the West, the next Seth MacFarlane movie, the Western. These two guys teaming up as the best of friends with the worst of dads who live with them in the same apartment. They are going to be debuting their show next Tuesday, September the 17th at 8 p.m. on Fox. And as a way to thank you for watching in advance, how about a $250 Visa gift card?
But I would think if you win this, you owe them to watch it.
It would be the honorable thing.
Yeah,
it is courtesy
absolutely
of the new Fox comedy Dad. So if you win $250 from Dads, I think the decent thing for you to do would be to tune in and watch Dads at its premiere on September the 17th, next Tuesday, 8 p.m. on Fox 11 here in Los Angeles. So caller number, let's say since it's Fox 11, how about caller number 11? 1-800-520-1067, caller number 11 for Channel 11. And one winner will get the $250 Visa gift card, courtesy of the new comedy Dads.
Now, it sounds to me, Ralph, like everybody who's anybody in the Seth MacFarlane universe is going to be on that new show, Dads. Like,
yes,
they didn't miss a person.
Yes, that's correct. Anybody who's anybody is on that new show. However, anybody who is nobody is not on that show. That's how it worked out. Thanks for bringing that up and opening an old room.
I'm sure they'll call you for
Shut
later
up.
This season.
Shut
I'm sure
up.
They will. How can they not?
And they need
you
a crazy should neighbor.
Hey,
that's
hey
right.
Officer Gruden will stop by. I've got a complaint about noise from this apartment. Hey, what's with those crazy dads of yours?
By the way, our friend Seth Green from Dads is going to be joining us in studio for the premiere next Tuesday.
There you go. Maybe I can beg him for a job then. That won't be awkward. Not at all. Oh, I've done more demeaning things for work than that. Trust me. This Duck Dynasty is not going away anytime soon.
Is this still demolishing?
Good monster hit. So much so that the residual fallout of their fame is starting to affect other members of their family. 16-year-old Sadie Robertson of the Robertson clan has just released her new fashion line.
Oh, come on.
In New York,
seriously?
At New York's Fashion Week on
come
Monday
on
night. Yeah, she's got a line of prom dresses for teen girls called the Sadie Robertson Live Original line. And it debuted this week in New York at Fashion Week.
Are they camouflage? Because that's really all they wear.
Sadly, no. You would think it would
well,
be
that's weird
coming from the dynasty and all. Sadie also told reporters that she and her whole family, all the Robertson clan, are praying for Miley Cyrus.
Oh, well, that's helpful.
Having seen her performance on the 2013 VMAs.
She seems to be doing fine.
No, they got to pray for her.
Okay.
Look, things are not going fine for her. I saw her licking a sledgehammer. I think
that happened.
Well,
I think
that was just her video.
I think the girl's starved for iron. I think she needs a lot of iron in her diet.
Oh.
She's licking metals now.
She was almost eating it.
And she was humping a wrecking ball.
That's true.
I know. That's not a euphemism either.
No, it isn't. That happens.
She was doing it.
Hunting hey, Ralph, doves. It's one of my most favorite activities because doves are the filet mignon of the sky.
That's true.
Sure. I know how popular the Duck Dynasty is. Have you heard anything on how Million Second Quiz is doing? Has that come across your desk yet?
Yes. Each and every... It did okay opening. The opening episode did fairly well. I think it was
third or something for its time slot. Right
so
up
it's not a disaster yet.
But each progressive episode, it's been losing audience and losing audience and losing audience.
Because it blows?
People are tuning out in droves.
Yeah.
I saw a half hour of it, and that was too much for me.
I tried to tune in after hearing you talk. Yeah. I tuned in for a little bit, and I was like, this is just relentless. No one wins until it goes on and on and on and on.
Yeah.
You got to gain points, and they're doubling, and oh, a double dumbass on you, and they double back, and then they, oh, now, the, now oh,
jinx. There's a jinx now, I think.
There's a guillotine button now where it cuts the question in half, and you only get half the question, and the other half comes later, and then a strawberry twist. You have to dance at some point while you're answering the question.
I don't get it.
It's very
strange. Boring!
The good news for Breaking Bad fans, the show may be going away, true, but one of its characters will live to be seen in another series. A prequel to the original series called Better Call Saul will feature Bob Odenkirk's character Saul Goodman.
I'd like to see more of him.
Yeah.
He's funny, a funny character.
Funny character. Yeah. Funny guy. So AMC has committed themselves to that, which is very cool. And sad news, however. Lamar Odom. His rumored drug addiction may be worse than anyone has imagined. TMZ.com has a story where they spotted him picking up a box of copper scrubbing pads this week. Now, what are you going to say? Well, maybe he's got some stubborn stains in his kitchen sink and he just can't get rid of them.
Right.
No, it turns out that crack users use them as filters in their pipes.
Oh.
Because they retain the vapors from the cocaine. It's very useful in the smoking of cocaine. So there may be an issue.
This is not going to end well.
Way to go, Dr. Drew.
That sucks.
Way to go, Drew.
He had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Well, that's our point.
Yeah. Where was he when he was needed?
He can't just impose his will on people.
Is he looking up Jody Arias's skirt? Come on. People dying out there, for God's sake.
Kevin is the kind of guy who there's a disaster happening in the middle of town, and he's like, yeah, Superman, don't worry about it. If you don't want to come help us out, that's fine. Just go ahead and sit in the Fortress of Solitude, leave us to him.
I'm saying Dr. Drew has rules because he's a doctor.
Yeah, I'm saying one of those rules isn't look the other way and let a man kill himself with crack.
How about the Hippocratic Oath, my friend? First, do no harm. How
right?
about that?
Wow, you're an apologist, Kevin.
I have no idea how it applies.
I don't even understand that.
Just wanted to get that in there.
And by the way, what about the First Amendment, Kevin?
Yes.
You ever think about that?
How about freedom of speech, Kevin? Does that matter to you at all?
I don't even know what we're talking about.
What about due process, you bastard?
Where's the outrage there?
Where is the outrage?
Thank
indeed.
You, Beer Mug. Finally, you're making some sense.
Yes. Jay Hutz. You say Hudson. Speaking of Jennifer Hudson with a D.
Not a T.
Not a T. She celebrates her birthday today. She's 32 years old. Can we hear a Beer Mug screaming at her one more time?
Oh, I'd love to.
Absolutely.
Jay Hutz! Can I sing a song for you, Jay Hutz! Jay Hutz!
Admit it's a T, Beer Mug, now that you've heard it back. Admit that there's no D, it's a T, you're saying Hudson.
Might have been.
Well, why did you turn into a Nazi?
Yeah, I know, totally.
I don't think I quite understood that.
Jay Hutz! Their veins are making you sing!
She's 32 years old today. Actress Emmy Rossum is 27 years old today. Think Emmy will ever win an Emmy? Would there be some sort of implosion or something that ever happens?
The world would end.
For work on Shameless. If she was on Shameless, if she wins
She's
an
great.
Emmy wins
cool.
an Emmy. I don't sure. know. That's why they don't let any actors named Oscar win the Oscar. Okay. It's like crossing the streams. Something bad will happen. Actor Ben McKenzie, he's 35 years old today. Rapper 2 Chainz is 36. Paul Walker turns 40 years old today. Jason Statham turns 46, as does Louis C.K. Joe Pantoliano, Joey Pants. 62 years old today. I just watched Midnight Run again the other day. And boy, he's great in that film. And Ben Folds of Ben Folds 5 is 47 years old today. Kevin, could you spend the remaining few minutes just recapping? When you guys had your breakfast with Ben Folds 5, if I remember correctly.
We were doing breakfast.
Time for another guest.
We were doing breakfast with Ben Folds 5.
Right.
And it was in our own building downstairs in a restaurant.
Yeah, I remember.
And we got down there, and in Bean's defense, nothing worked.
Right.
And it was in our own building, so you would think that the engineers could get it.
Just like, need to run a wire down from your office down to the restaurant.
We couldn't hear the radio station. The radio station couldn't hear us. Right. I couldn't hear Bean. Bean couldn't hear me. Ben Folds couldn't hear me or Bean.
Not ideal.
And me and Bean could not hear Ben Folds.
Not ideal.
It was horrible on every level. And Bean lost it.
So he took it as a professional and he helped to work
no,
out the
problem. No, this is the one time where his head exploded and he either was going to leave or he was going to kill. He was going to go on a rampage.
So he just picked up a blue pen and he worked it out. He wrote some notes and he carried on.
He stomped out. He went to his car and he drove home.
I'm sorry. What happened?
And then I did the breakfast with Ben Folds.
By yourself?
By myself, because Bean had thrown the world's biggest tantrum.
Wow. Did you have listeners there?
Having said that, yes. Having said that, I don't blame him at all because it was so infuriating. But I was more fascinated with watching Bean implode than any of the other technical issues that we had.
Wow. What happened to Leave No Man Behind? What happened to Black Hawk Down?
Yeah.
That was the problem right there.
So that happened.
Now, I have a terrible memory for things. So if Kevin says that's the way it happened, then I'm sure that's the way it happened.
I remember that's the way it happened.
Thank you, Lisa.
No. Here's the only distinction I want to make, because my memory of it is that I didn't throw a tantrum and stomp out in that I wasn't like screaming at everybody. To me, it was a quiet meltdown. It was a nuclear core that was just melting down. And I just kind of slowly, like in a daze, just walked out with a 1,000-yard stare and just went to my car and just sat and wept.
I remember being
That's how I remember it.
Could have driven off a bridge at
I remember
that
being scared because I'd never seen him that internally angry. Yes. He didn't do it in front of the listeners, but I wasn't sure what was going to happen.
Well, yeah. I thought that was a low point.
I thought I might die. I thought Lisa might die. I was sure Bean was going to die.
It's like playing on the police force. You need to know your partner has your back, and he's going to, you know, in times of crisis, he's going to be right there. Oh, where'd he go?
It was good times.
Could we retire that story?
No,
every year we have to tell the Ben Folds story.
Yes.
Really?
Yes. So, okay. Yes. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to tell that story again for the early listeners.
Good.
We have Depeche Mode tickets. We have the guys who created Cops on the program tomorrow.
Bat boys.
Cousin Sal, we'll take a look at NFL week number 2, help you make some money on that. And from Dexter, Yvonne Strahovski.
Oh, nice. Hannah.
Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin.